Do you believe in click it or tick it?
Pete Martino is here, and we're here talking.
Yeah, I'm Glenn Marshall. I'm not good at doing the voice there, but yeah.
This is Nick Francesa here on the fan. So I just checking the scores. Aceves is in, good ball player.
You know, I have a question. What podcast are you going to name better than, you know, you got your Corollas, you got your Bill Burrs.
Got Bill Burr, Ricky Gervais.
You got Click It or Ticket.
Got Corolla.
Who you going to put in Click It, Corolla? No, Click It, Ticket, the best.
Because you got three
next
guys.
Next caller.
You got three guys. What does the podcast got? Corolla, one guy, maybe a guest. So you got two guys. Gervais, kind of two and a half, sort of. This got more guys.
So here we are. I hope you enjoyed our intro music. There was nothing wrong with it.
Do you think? I mean, no, everything went smoothly. I mean,
he means that in every way, both technically and in how perfect it was.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, what?
Well done, DJ Ryan.
Yeah, I know, Ryan. Flawless.
DJ A.
I mean, we asked you to do one simple thing, and you executed it like a pro.
That's Ryan, always be better than I am.
I know. I
mean, Haley could have done that. Nor could Hadley.
This isn't a Justin Mitchell fucking Hadley song, all right, Nick? Get it under control.
It's not.
Every minute
didn't
I wish
that was.
Didn't
he write Mike's up? I thought that was him.
In like that like silver vest he's in.
When it started to get all cluttered there, it kind of sounded like one of his songs.
I tried to think about, there were so many reasons why that's hysterical, but I think what I put my finger on, and I think it's what makes this show so funny, is they were all of those tracks of that singer, he was so into it, and they were all kind of competing to be
Small
heard.
Radio.
They were all singing so loud.
They all got their point across. Sports fan. Sports fan. Sports fan.
All right. Yeah. We're mic'd up.
No, yeah, question. Do you guys think that his manner of speech is a product of the fact that he has to fill 5.5 hours every day?
I think it's
day
to kill time.
Yeah.
There are guys on there who will say, they'll talk like this. So the Spurs drafted so-and-so, pick number 25. He's a power forward out of Xavier. And he's about 6'10". They think he can help them with their interior score. And they do that deliberately to try to get people to call
in. I think
in.
That goes a lot just for guys who kind of do their one-man show type stuff, even if they have call-ins. I mean, especially like when you listen to talk on news radio also.
Yeah, but like I would much rather have a guy like talk about a bunch of shit, and then it's like, oh, man, we're getting into like the fifth hour here. You guys got to call in, help me out. Like, not that, but, like, we're going to start doing, like, some gags and, like, get it moving along. I don't want to hear, like, monotone because then there's nothing really interesting about it.
It might be a device to keep them, maybe they're trying to keep themselves from talking too fast and kind of losing people. Maybe it's trying to make it themselves easier to hear, so make sure they speak clearly. But you'd think that a professional could handle that. Like us.
I mean, I can fucking enunciate, you know what I mean? I mean, I can fucking enunciate. I can do whatever I want.
Well, I mean, you are in college,
yeah.
So.
I don't understand it. He doesn't sound
Ryan
like...
glazed over, missing the opportunity.
He doesn't sound like he's talking to adults when he talks like that.
Well, he used to have a partner, Chris Russo, whom I liked much better. This is Mike Francesi. He's a local New York sports
On the fan.
Radio personality, in case you hadn't figured this out. listener.
He'll bring you the sports by any means necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, but what is it?
He won't negotiate with terrorists or something.
Yeah.
But
if he gets kidnapped.
I thought he did on one episode.
Really?
I was really drunk, though.
I bet those terrorists must have been bored
out of
their
really drunk at 1 p.m. when he came on.
Stay cool, bird boy.
That's right.
That's his nickname, all right.
But I think.
Old bird boy.
He got that theme song after. His radio partner got fired.
He left on his own accord because I don't think he could stand Mike Francesa anymore. They were on the air together, though, for something like over 15 years.
It was a long, long time.
Those radio guys are like government employees. They're like bureaucrats.
Can't get rid of them.
Yeah, they hold. It's kind of weird.
The station will go under before they'll. Not like they're given the choice, you know, stay on the air or fire this guy. But
the whole
radio
format,
stations
the whole
go
format
under
will get
the
changed.
Show,
yeah.
Yeah, but they. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's really weird how, like, they can just hunker down and, like, but they're on the air every day, and they're not that good.
Francesa is, and whenever I criticize an announcer or a radio guy, I'm saying, oh, this is a stupid point, or why is he talking about this? And people say, hey, you know what? It's hard, man. They got to talk for a long time. It's, yeah, that's their job.
I imagine
rocket science. Rocket science, incredibly difficult. But if someone is paid to be a rocket scientist, having been trained as a rocket scientist, if the rocket blows up, they are absolutely a fair target for criticism. Why not?
Yeah, like
it's their job.
Albert Pujols is really good, but if he stopped hitting home runs, he wouldn't be like, come on, it's the major leagues. Like these
pitchers, those
pitches
are hard to hit.
Jesus, it's hard.
Yeah.
You guys should try doing it.
It's going to be really funny in 3 years when Ryan Howard stops hitting home runs. And
it will be.
Yeah. News hot off the presses. Nick told me this afternoon.
Yep.
Ryan Howard, even though he's under contract for 2 more years,
yep.
They just signed up for $125 million
for
five-year deal.
5 years tacked onto that. Lots of different ways of looking at this.
Can I tell you the one way I came to it with Pete?
Sure, because I got one I'm going to throw at you right after.
All right. You know, like the poker, the Texas Hold'em? Yeah, Ryan is zoning in or zoning out. I can't tell.
We need to pour some Red Bull in that Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Hold 'em like they do in Texas.
Yeah, he wants a beer, Ryan. yeah, the Texas Hold'em. You know when, like, it's basically the equivalent of, all right, that guy checked, everyone checked, and it comes to you, and you can just check and see there's 3 cards that are going to get flipped over. Or no, it's like, I'm just going to go all in. I don't even want to fucking see the other cards. It's not worth it, even though it's in my best interest. Like, why would I bother doing that? That's ridiculous.
Here's a way of looking at it. Ryan Howard will be paid more for his age 36 and age 37 seasons than Evan Longoria will be paid for his age 25 through 31 seasons. He's about the eighth best first baseman in baseball.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. I didn't know he was fucking 30 already.
Yeah, he's old.
He's going to be under contract until he's 32 years old.
No, already?
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to see? It's he's aging a little bit.
I am invincible!
Especially, he's the type of player who, I mean, Keith Law, I could post this, did a great radio spot where he explained, he touched on every aspect about why this is asinine. And at one point, the radio guy said, you know, some Philly sports people are so happy with it. They're amazed that Ryan Howard even took this offer. They thought he'd ask for more. And Keith Law just started laughing. This is a sports analyst at a proposition, which is very, I've never actually heard a legitimate sports persona laughing at something that another sports writer has said, but
it's such a strange gamble you can get even closer to seeing what his chart will look like, but it's like,
if you're giving him that kind of security, he should take a discount.
Yeah.
It's like, you're still in a contract for 2 years. We'll make sure you're paid until you're 37, but to get that certainty, you don't get might not get as much money.
It blows my mind.
Oh, it's
so he could literally just eat cheeseburgers from now until he's 36.
He probably will. He's a
paid
fat
millions.
I mean,
dollars.
But like buy really expensive cheeseburgers. You know,
Five Guys. Have
yeah,
you been
like
there?
Like
Woo!
He'll go to the
Jackson
Five
Hole.
No, I was gonna say Ooh. The
Joe's American Burger.
Yeah, and go to their $5 menu.
Go to Burger Bedlam for all of your New York City burger information. Companion website. They've got us linked on there. Great website.
I wish I had Burger Bedlam this one time. When a friend of the show and I, Critelli, one time he was like, hey, man, let's just go get a burger. And as most of you know, in high school, I had $0.
He did not have any cash.
But I just wanted to get a burger. He's like, yeah, well, let's go to it's this little place my mom heard about, like Joe's American Burger, which is a chain I didn't know about. But
talk faster.
It costs about like $14. Ooh, for a burger.
For one?
Yeah.
But what did you have
so
on
it? So he picked up the tab like a gentleman, and I sucked his dick.
What was on it? Like just what? Lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise? Chili, bacon?
It was boring. It was just like, it was probably made of filet or something. But
it cost $14.
They probably had to kill a lot of cows.
Was it
the size of a
well, the good part.
It was a Barrett Large burger.
Did the restaurant revolve?
Yes.
Oh, well, that'll do it. All right, this is a...
I mean, you got to keep that... You got to keep the restaurant moving, you know? You're paying for that.
This is a Nick... Moment
an exclusive
of, moment of stupidity. So well, actually, it isn't a moment because it was my entire fucking life. I went to a revolving restaurant for the first time for a couple months ago. I took junior producer Alyssa to the Sundial in Atlanta. Mm. It's really cool. It's at the very top of the West, and it's one of the three or four tallest buildings in the city, and it's got a really nice view. And we walked in, and I finally figured out that in a revolving restaurant, they have the floor revolve. Out the entire top of the building. And that was one of those things which I had thought when I was... Because when my parents told me about rolling restaurants when I was like seven or something, when the concept was first introduced to me, I was like, yeah, they just have the top of the thing spin. Because I think someone told me it was like the Eiffel Tower or something. I was like, yeah, you stick a ball on the top and it spins around. Makes sense. And I just... That was the concept in my head up until 2 months ago. I never stopped to think about it again. I was like, yeah, you got the whole fucking thing spinning around up there. And it's... I got to be honest, this design is better than how I thought of it. This is a better way of doing it. Just the floor, way easier to spin, I assume.
Yeah, then the whole like
entire
diskette that would just rotate.
Yeah, then the entire top.
Jeremy.
Filmmaker Jeremy Gardner is calling Glenn in studio right
middle
now.
Cast, this is unprecedented, folks.
Not a single precedent.
I wish there was a way to get him on the mic. That'd be great.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Just hold the mic up to the...
But I don't think that would work, but...
What do you think of zombie movies? Would you ever want to make one?
What?
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know if it's working.
Yeah, this is Glenn, and we're in the middle of the podcast. I decided to put you on speakerphone.
Welcome back to Clicking Her Ticket.
You bastards. I was just calling you because I'm leaving for Europe tomorrow, and I was like, we should get a podcast going tonight.
I thought you were making a movie, god damn it.
Wait, when are you going to Europe? Where? How long are you going to be gone? Where are you going?
10 days tomorrow, Barcelona, Paris, and London.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Sorry.
So if I crash into the ocean, I wanted to have one more vocal...
We'll do a will. We'll do a will on the air.
Memory.
So you want to do this when? Now?
Now, right?
Are you screaming... You haven't yelled pack your shit up yet, but
we'll head over there after this episode.
I could do that. Ryan?
Possibly.
Ryan's giving me the shrug. I don't know what the fuck
Ryan's,
that means.
Ryan's sleepy like a...
Well,
like
in case
a,
we
like
can't get over there, how about he gives a will over the phone right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Ryan's getting... Now he's giving the thumbs up. He took a swig of Blue Moon.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we're you're at your place? All right, we're heading over.
Superb.
Solid.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the behind-the-scenes special edition.
This is how it goes down, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems crazy, but we're really just like regular people.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, well, that might cut this episode a little short. We won't run it as long because we want to get over there, rub dongs, like, really quickly.
Do you want to... I mean, we could just put this at the beginning and then go over there.
You know what, Glenn? I don't like your attitude.
A to be continued cast?
Yeah, I like. We've never done such a thing.
A to be continued?
Uh oh.
Is this going to be canceled?
Oh, my.
Another call.
Jeremy Gardner.
This is a suspenseful cast.
I know. A suspense cast.
Hope you all took your heart medication.
All right. I can't hear you. I'm going to have to go outside. You guys are going to have to be left in suspense.
We'll carry on without you.
Yeah, they're going to carry on without me. Hold on.
It's happened before.
This happened once before. So here we are again, Glenless.
Here,
the definition of Glenless.
All right, well, you remember how we several times, and by several I mean twice, performed with alongside Daryl Hammond at Caroline's in New York City.
Yes, I do.
Doing some stand-up comedy. That was over the last few years. Apparently, he last performed at Caroline's. He was, quote, disheveled and loopy, and he kind of just showed up, and nobody knew he was coming, but they let him on. And he explained to the crowd that he was really high on Vicodin because he had just come from a root canal surgery.
Uh-huh.
And then he advised the audience to do harm to themselves so they could get their hands on the medicine themselves.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and I gotta say...
I mean, I've heard that he's kind of a drug addict and a bit of an alcoholic, but...
It definitely matches with the perception I got from the brief, overhearing conversations that he was having while we were... there. Did you get to interact with him at all?
Yeah. Well, I just not really interact with him.
He showed up with some. He was wearing a Yankee hat, a suit, a very nice suit, and some like white sneakers.
Yeah.
I guess going for the sort of Seinfeld.
That's how I want to dress when I'm over 30.
White sneakers?
I just the suit with a baseball cap, I think, is a pretty pimp look if you're even sort of famous.
I think the Yankee hat.
You're above C-list.
So is the Yankee hat the like formal attire for baseball caps?
I would say so.
Because I think
it'd
be
what
really.
What Jay-Z wears.
Oh, and here's. Sorry, while we're on the subject.
And he's formal as shit.
Hypothesis. Oh. I was thinking about this the other day. Most boring team of the last 20 years. Not interesting in any way. Cincinnati Reds.
I would agree with that.
Thoughts? Okay.
I want their hat.
Hat's fine, but not nondescript.
Yeah. Like the Browns.
They've been bad, but not so bad that it's worth noticing.
And, or yeah, well, they're not like the butt of a joke bad, but
no.
It's kind of like my feelings. I would elect the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're kind
well,
of the
well, no,
because they have Latrell Sprewell.
They did one thing that was real. They did a couple. Latrell Sprewell choked his coach on the team. The other thing was they were like one of the only 8 seeds to upset a 1 seed in the playoffs. They did like 3 years ago.
Wow.
It was really exciting.
See, I stopped watching. Alert, Pete is wrong. It's what?
That was really exciting.
I keep in mind, I haven't actually really sat down and watched a full NBA game since The Last Strike, which I'm pretty sure was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Kind of killed it for me.
I
thought it was all about the game. It was all about the cash.
I might be in that same boat, yeah.
Which was, the NBA was huge, and then everyone decided it was boring collectively.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it was a collective bargaining agreement.
Then Space Jam came out. If you could see Michael Jordan in movies, why would you want to watch him play basketball?
Yeah, way more interesting.
Yeah, and to quote System of Down, Nick, where the fuck were you?
Watching the Bulls go 13-68 after that or whatever it was, hoping that Elton Brand would turn into the next Charles Barkley or whatever. But I just realized, and you know what, fuck it, there's been a lot of baseball in this. That's okay. According to me. I mean, you guys disagree. I don't know.
It's the Reds.
Every other organization has done something that is far more interesting than the Reds in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Royals. Reds have been better than the Royals. The Royals have been so terrible that it's like weird. It's like weird performance art.
When's the last time they won a World Series, though?
85.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They haven't made the playoffs since.
Yeah, okay.
They are one of, I think, two or three teams to lose 100 games back-to-back seasons.
I guess if you have a Yankees winning like 100 games in a season,
someone's got to
be at the other end.
Probably, but it's usually not the same team because it's hard to be that
bad.
Yeah,
that's true.
And their general manager, I got to say, like I said, it's getting to the point where it's weird performance art. Like, that's what it is. How terrible he's been.
Yeah, a modern art baseball team.
Andy Kaufman died so he could manage this team from behind the curtain.
Ernie, do you guys want to
hear the string?
Sorry, this is too much baseball for
you. You guys want to hear the Jeremy news, the update?
Are we not going over there now?
I think we're at 15 now, right? Right? 17. He's at the Ginger Man, the Ginger Ham,
okay.
Or watering hole. He just gave me the open eyes, like, I want to go there. Let's go to the Ginger Man. And now he's looking even more quizzically. But
I'm doing some great radio here.
We have the choice of either doing another, like the rest of the cast. I mean, right now it's like a nice bumper.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
We talked about baseball and nothing.
Yeah, so we should put it at the end of the Jeremy cast.
Okay.
And we could either go to the Ginger Man and then go to his place after or vice versa.
You can't win.
I don't trust myself to go to the Ginger Man and then record. So I kind of want to record and then Ginger Man.
All right.
I think I'd rather do that as well.
I would.
I mean, that's not what I would rather do, but like it's what we should
do. It's the more sensible thing. I guess you should pass that on to him really quickly. I do have a couple guests that gender the offender.
No,
you got me waiting.
Should we save these?
You're gonna make a fuck personal phone call.
Should we save these for Jeremy?
He has a couple. We could do one.
All right. I have three.
Yeah, so let's do one.
But three is such a magical number.
I forget. What, have we brought this back? Do we have a new tally going, or
this is fresh.
Oh wow! So
all right, so let's do one, and this will be the teaser for the opening
of episode 100.
Just want to clarify: are we still going to 21? Bring down the house.
Still going to bring down the house. The ones with Jeremy, which will actually technically happen before this happens, will not count.
All right.
Okay.
Wait, won't it happen after?
in regular time scale, but hopefully the way the listener
now, why does
now.
This have to be at the end? Couldn't this just be happening now? And they're like, oh my God, we can keep up with
well,
them.
Well, I guess, yeah.
I wonder what happened.
It'd be really funny, though. We're to
yes,
do a whole new.
Gender.
Oh. Gender. If we did a whole new intro for Jeremy's thing, and then this is like back. Oh, man. It looks like you have Payas on right now because you have the hat over the mic. It just looks funny.
Yeah. I'm Tom Morello-ing the shit out of this.
All right.
I don't know, but I don't want to like. All right,
so we'll do it before.
I don't want to Tarantino the shit out of.
You mean what was that movie we saw again?
All right, 100 episode 100
Law
still hasn't come
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Law Abiding Citizen is the new Tarantino.
Okay.
Because Nick and I saw.
I yeah. just stopped listening. What do you guys?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
About?
Yeah, let's do it. You're right. It'll go before, and let's do the fucking game where I lose a lot.
All right. Weird crime of the week. A South Carolina resident.
Why not?
Who responded to a request to turn down their music by jamming a 6-foot python into fellow motel guest's face has been arrested for assault and battery. I almost had a heart attack, said the victim, who had earlier told the snake owner that he was terrified of reptiles. I dropped to my knees and actually crawled back into my room. The snake-wielding assailant had the snake's head squeezed so its mouth was open, said the victim, who escaped with a few scratches. They ran it across my face, and it tried to crawl in my mouth. Police, who listed the weapon as other in their incident report, arrested the snake owner. The snake was released to a family member.
It said they, though, so that means there were more than one.
I said they.
Oh. Oh.
It's the best gender-neutral term I could come up with on the fly.
All right. All snake right. wielding. Male or female?
It seems male. You know,
men like snakes, but then there's those like tattoo chicks that also like snakes.
People,
so I'm split.
Hill
split like
people
the
like
tongue
the
of a snake. Yeah, true.
I'm going male. The thing is, I feel like Nick might have picked it because it's a female doing.
Oh, there's
this.
Always that element to
You're
it.
You're such
certainly.
A bastard. This game is just so evil.
I'm like Keith Fulton.
It's
fastball like, changeup.
It's
you don't know which is coming.
It's like betting on like flipping a coin. It's
where was
fucking
this again?
Evil.
South Carolina.
And they were worried about.
There are hill people in
who,
South
who
Carolina.
Who was worried if the snake was all right? Was someone saying like they were worried if?
The article specified that that while the assailant was in custody, the snake was rent. Given to a family member.
Okay.
To take care of. In the
sounds
meantime.
Like a child. Pete, you should go woman. I'm going to go man.
Man. Yeah, I'm going to go man also. It just seems like a guy.
Two guys rubbing snakes.
Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yep.
Oh, man, we got two correct answers.
Yeah, I knew it was a guy.
I was hoping you would go with that line of thought. Like, this is so obviously a dude. Why would Nick pick it? But
no, because chicks can't manhandle a 6-foot python.
You could squeeze the head back.
Yeah,
of the
I
head
know that, but you couldn't have it like wrapped around you and be like totally fine. This is a 310-pound.
I have seen lots of
not 310.
No,
pounds.
No, no. The person. It's. A, I was gonna say it's a 310-pound hill person.
The hills have eyes, after all.
I was gonna say I've seen lots of scantily clad women wielding snakes.
Yeah, I've been to Coney Island too.
Yeah,
I've never been.
Well, it's gone now. So.
I've never been.
Is it really gone?
I think they kind of tore it down and remodeled everything. Oh. Ryan's nodding his head, so that means it's true.
I know the hot dogs make you sick or something.
Yeah, and so does A&W make Pete sick, but that just makes him hungry for more.
Yeah, it's sickening.
Ladies, if you are trying to get Pete to break up with you, do not cook him food that'll make him sick. That will not deter him in the slightest.
No.
It didn't work for A&W. It
keeps him coming back for more.
I know.
Are you guys hungry? I'm so hungry.
Very few foods conquer me.
I'm starving.
And if they start to, I always want round two, and then I own round two.
Pete versus food.
I turn it into poop so quickly. But it's not that gross liquid poop. Like, it's still dominating me. It's just like, ooh, you're digested, bitch.
It's like you're rejecting it now.
Oh, you have jalapenos in you? Whatever. I just threw up 2 hours ago.
I'm rejecting it now. I'm eating it now.
Exactly.
And that was like four strikes on that one.
I'm eating it now.
So are we?
I think you want to...
Intermission?
You want to nip this thing in the penis?
23 minutes. That sounds like a pretty good intermission.
Circumcise this baby and move on?
Well, this will be pretty instantaneous for you, listeners. This might take us a significant amount of time. So
it'll actually be miles in between this.
I guess thanks for listening to Shortcast.
Yeah. But it's not even short.
Thanks for the height, him repeat. Fuck
all right,
you.
We should do something where we lead into the next half of this after the stop. It's like, and we will continue... And then you can say talking to your right. Sort of
wait, I have an idea.
Oh.
Hello and welcome back to Click It or Ticket. We have made the transition.
Doo-wop times here.
Took hours.
We just came up with a new gang to pin on our leather jackets.
Yes,
you know?
Indeedy.
We're going to be outside the barbershop Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings.
But this is not a quartet. This is a quintet at the table. Neil's on a mic and once again returning gloriously to the studio that is his dining room. Jeremy Garner.
That's me.
Jeremy is packing up for his first trip to Europe.
First trip to anywhere, Bill.
Really? Not even Canada?
Never been to Canada. Never been to the Bahamas.
Never went to Mexico.
Me neither.
South of the border.
I've never been to any of those places.
Wow. Really, I feel like we need to go to fucking Montreal this summer then.
Fucking
Montreal trip.
Because I mean,
so you can get your chest kicked in
again?
Yeah,
I can get my ribs broken. I can get things stolen from me. I can get in fights against the Persia.
Wait, is this a previous episode? Yeah.
I mean, no, I actually, I got jumped by a street gang, and I actually did very well for myself.
Let's not hear about that. Let's hear about your injuries.
Did they spit French at you?
No, their punches did absolutely nothing, but their kicks were pretty good. So I was actually being held by one of my own friends who was blackout drunk while I was getting my ass kicked.
Please tell me halfway through it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. As you're, like,
yeah, he's like, dude, come on. Yeah, like totally shit like that.
Wait,
yeah.
Held back or held
down? No, held
down
in a full Nelson while I was being pummeled halfway through the fight.
So he was helping?
Sort of. I mean, yeah,
he was
actually.
Trying to drag you away.
I mean, if this fight was being scored, then yeah, he was helping a lot. He was, yeah. He got like an assist for every punch and kick, yeah.
Point.
No, it's
point,
an assist.
Quebec.
Yeah, you get, yeah.
So what started the fight?
I guess. Oh, this is a really annoying story.
Okay, never mind then.
I mean, I'll tell it. it just sucks because I'm painting the light of it. Just sucks. A bunch of kids. We were with a big group, and they're like, "Oh, dude, can you like find some like fucking at like they wanted E," and I'm like, "Okay." They're like, "Go ask those kids right there on the corner." I'm like, "That is annoying." And so I go ask these kids, and the kid walks me down this like alley, and I'm like, "This is Adderall," and I'm like, "I will not be taking that," and I like walk back out of the alley, and then by this point, like everyone's already gone, we're all like walking away, and the guy's like, he keeps following me, he's like, "No, man, come on, like come on," and he keeps like slowing me down, getting me further and further away from like the group. There's still people coming out of the bar we were all at, like walking past me, but like not. There's like a big window here. So the guy keeps, like, grabbing me in, like, the arm and, like, pulling me back. I'm like, "Stop fucking touching me, man. Like, I don't want your, like, disgusting Adderall. Like, my friends wanted
somebody,
to
like, barehanded it to you, so, like, sweaty." And there
yeah,
was,
yeah,
like,
no, there were, like...
No, it was, like, pocket lint, like, a paper clip and a golf pencil in his hand as well as these... Like,
the golf... I like the golf pencil, yeah. But not sharp, though.
Wait, all right.
So then I'm like, "Stop fucking touching me." And, then I, like, push him away from me. He's like, "Whoa, man." I'm like, "Don't whoa, man. Like, I'm going to keep walking." And then his friends... just kind of all surrounded me.
Don't want your fucking Adderall.
Yeah.
And then that should be started.
And then halfway through it, one of the kids walking out of the bar was like, "Oh my God, it's Glenn. He's in a fight." Like, he decided to break up the fight while it was still going on. So I got punched a bunch of times in that, but that really didn't do the damage. It was the couple kicks. I got hit in the left side.
Hanging rib.
Yeah. No, it wasn't my hanging rib. It was higher up.
Hold on. Ooh. Was there an actual conscious moment during the fight that you were like, "Oh, all right, these punches are fucking
weak." No, the punches,
like,
it was, kicks. No, because like when you, like, I mean, if you've been punched a bunch of times, you're like, you like learn how to take it. And like,
yeah, but no,
it's really not that, because I cut easily. I don't bruise easily. Like, no swelling, no cut, like nothing in my nose.
I bludgeon easily.
I got hit in the nose.
No, I knew from day one you cut easy.
And I got hit in the nose and it did nothing. Like, their punches, it was like they were like,
wait,
just
hold
trying
on,
to,
hold
they
on,
were
I'm
almost
sorry,
throwing them. All
right,
all right.
The punches were not strong.
Where did the kicks land?
The kicks were like the two kicks that landed were to the rib cage, like in the same spot by the same kid.
You had a double rib.
Oh, I got like
smack.
Kicked,
and
you're, then
and they're Canadians are like shitty Europeans, so they, especially French Canadians, so they probably had really stupid late '80s boots
yeah,
on.
Keeping in mind,
didn't
I'm
you
also
say they were like Peruvian or something?
No, I have no idea.
Did they skate around with their arms high after?
No, they were skating around, but
they
were clapping
under
their
the
sticks against the ground,
Peruvian.
Taunting me.
Was there weird techno going on?
No, the Persia
the
was the next night.
Did you get the ecstasy?
No. Then later that night, I did take a bunch of ecstasy. because I did not feel my ribs hurting until Sunday. So we
Why do you do drugs, Glenn?
I don't know. I haven't done E.
Have you ever just got to the core of that?
I just had to try.
Are you running from something?
No, but then
it is kind of a shame that at age 23 you're wizened and reminiscing about how years past you did ecstasy.
No, but like it was fun to do like a hand like two or three times.
I bet it's fun. It's called ecstasy.
I would never do. I have no interest in ever doing it again. You know? But then the next night that we went out to a bunch of fucking awesome bars. We found this place. Grumpy's, and there was this 50s band
that
playing.
Doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, it was sweet. We found the place during the day when I had to keep drinking so my ribs wouldn't hurt, you know. And so we found Grumpy's, and there was this dude, it was a three-piece, it was a trio, and this dude was standing up on the bass while playing it, like standing on an upright bass, like balancing himself. It was crazy.
Oh, Jeremy, I do have a question for you. You were scowling at Glenn. Are you a werewolf? Like a little bit.
You don't want to get on the subject of werewolves.
Junior producer Alyssa wanted to know if you were a werewolf.
I am actually not a werewolf, but I will tell you that.
But I will be.
freshman high school year.
You got bit by a werewolf.
Junior year. No, all I did was obsess over lycanthropy.
Really?
Ghosts.
Were you
cryptozoology. I actually tried to find a book by Bernard Hoivelmans, which was like a Swedish or Danish, like considered the Bible of cryptozoology.
The Necronomicon?
The science of like animals that are hidden, like basically animals that...
Loch Ness.
Like Bigfoot.
So you really like the Hellboy comics?
It was
too?
A pseudoscience. I totally admit to being obsessed with the pseudoscience.
And you were sincere. This was sincere.
Oh,
if that Ghost Hunter show was on then, would you have just gone fucking apeshit over it?
No, because I mean, I grew up on In Search Of.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I mean, so you watch... Oh,
the In Search Of's, you watch the whole thing, and they give you, like, very minimal evidence, and then they're like, now you decide, is Bigfoot real?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, man.
You
like,
know what's,
find
you know what's
Bigfoot.
Funny,
that's why I'm watching the show.
So that's the why difference. Monster that's Quest how was. You turn into a skeptic, is I realized after loving those shows for years, suddenly one day I was like... Well, clearly there wouldn't be a show on Tuesday night on 9 p.m. and Discovery Channel that proves the existence of ghosts. Like, if whatever I'm going to see in this next hour is true, that shit would have been all over the news
if
for
somebody
a
could,
week.
If somebody could demonstrably prove that ghosts were true, could prove it, they would win the fucking Nobel Prize.
Of course. So that's what I mean is to go from an idea where you're like, this is interesting and this is I love this shit. To being like, this is ridiculous, is a very specific
I think also as
line.
If it really predated the predominance of the internet and a lot of these shows now where it's really in your face and involved and easy to access, if you're only grabbing a snippet here, a book there, a book there, and you weren't living quite in this era of information saturation, there's probably a lot more room for you to imagine and fill in the blanks. I feel like, you know, you're not looking at all these people on TV wearing, you know, biker outfits and holding up electromagnetic field readers up to the light bulbs and
dude, that measures ectoplasm, all right?
All right.
I was going to say, there's only so much information you can get during telegrams.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, in the 70s, it's like, you know, I read, like, a magazine article about ghosts.
It's like, oh, it could be true.
And that's the only thing I read about ghosts this year, and they said it was true. So who fucking knows, man? Because it's the fucking 70s.
You know what I mean, though, right? Am I making my point well at all?
It's the kind of thing that there's no, like, data to crunch, though. It's not like some, like, Poindexter
like
comes
that.
Into the newsroom and drops, like a full, like, foot-tall stack of papers. He's like, oh, man,
I'm
all
saying
this
the
ghost
less
data.
You're exposed to something, the you know, it's the more you're exposed to something, the easier it is to be disillusioned by it. And
sure.
So
right.
if there's all kinds of shit you can look at and there's all kinds of GeoCities websites about, you know, douchebag the ghost hunter or whatever it is, you think, oh, this is horse shit. But if you just have a hardcover book with all these histories and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
like
you're
Time
like...
Time Life series. I mean, did you ever get the Time Life series books? Look, I know that the Dewey Decimal System, if you want monsters and UFOs, go to the 000s. That's where it is in the Dewey Decimal System.
Nice.
Whatever library I used to go to in my teens, it
so
was like,
it's the
why not drop into the triple zeros.
It's right at the beginning. Why would you ever go anywhere else?
It's like, we got to start with monsters
me?
And then move on to
I feel like
know.
I knew where that section was. I just assumed that that was where all the good books were, and I never
but
cared
hold on,
to learn
hold on.
About.
So was there ever a time in your life when you were like, yes, ghosts exist?
No. I might have been scared of the... I was definitely scared of the dark and maybe monsters and stuff as a kid, and probably older than most people because I'm a pussy. But
I'm still a pussy.
I think there was one, I remember distinctly, there was one night when I was about 12 or 13 where I stayed up reading about Dudleyville in Connecticut. Which is apparently
that shit's terrible.
It was this failed colony in this valley in northern Connecticut, which is very, there are all these ghost stories about it and stuff. And it is apparently like a really creepy place, and the colony did fail, so it's just kind of ruins, and they don't let you in there because it's dangerous, but everyone says it's because of the ghosts. I was stayed up late reading about that, listening to Nine Inch Nails, and then like I think like my cat jumped on my shoulders and I nearly shit myself. But that was probably the closest I came to like, holy crap, maybe in the colonial era, you know. And then The Village came out and ruined it. So
I remember when I was about like 7 or 8 or so, like there was a good year where I just had this fear of being possessed. Like I watched one special and I watched like The Exorcism and I was like, fuck, like what if that just fucking happens? What if like something just takes over your body?
That's,
and it's awful.
That's what that was, because mine was like when I was 11 watching a show where it's like the end of the world is going to happen. Yeah. And it was like, here's all the reasons why. And then like,
they still
I
do
can't
that
sleep.
Constantly.
I know, but when I was when like 11, yeah. I'm like, I can't fucking sleep because the human race is going to die.
Why waste time sleeping?
Too,
the end is
but, yeah, but then I like thought to it, I was like, but fuck it, if that happens, like who cares? Like I even came to that realization at a pretty early age. I was like, it's just going to be the apocalypse, so everyone's dead.
Yeah, I think of my
there
first
was something
one
about
was...
something like actually hunting for me specifically seems so soulless and creepy, and it's like, and I'll just be that one statistic who gets fucking possessed.
Oh yeah, that's the there are two things like that. There was one for me was when I was about 4, my babysitter watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and as a 4-year-old, that was fucking horrifying. But the other thing was, a lot of the time when I would freak myself out, I would say, I'd be lying, you know, if I couldn't sleep because I was scared of the dark or something, or I didn't want to go out and take the garbage out because I was scared, it would not be like, holy shit, there's definitely a monster. I'd be like, there can't be. And I was like, wait a minute, how many TV shows and movies have I seen where the person is walking out casually and they aren't ready for it, and they're the first one who gets nabbed before, you know, the first person gets killed by the zombie in the movie, or the first person gets bit by the vampire, they're not paying attention.
So you didn't buy
into
the supernatural aspect of it, you bought into the...
I'm going to be the outlier, shitty, like Pete was saying, the one person who gets struck by lightning first, and you know, maybe I don't know what that says about me that I thought I was being filmed or whatever. But
so pessimistic.
Mine
but
was kind of in the supernatural though. I
that's
was like,
absolutely
true. Like, there's probably like a fucking Satan who's gonna take over my body or something. I didn't know like what to think, because then like one night I remember I was just like in bed and I watched the special on just Satanism, but they had all these like weird drawings of like Lucifer, and I was like, oh god, because they don't even talk about the Bible.
You were raised Catholic too, true. So it probably had some sort of subconscious effect.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy shit in the Catholic.
But
church.
Then I thought about it. The way I got over it, the way I rationalized it is like, fuck it, all these possessions you ever hear of, no one dies. It's like just puke everywhere and like our fucking.
Yeah, the
only thing that would be weird is everyone would treat you weird. It's like, oh, there's like my nephew Jimmy. It's like he was like possessed once.
She was exorcised.
Yeah, the whole exorcism part seems really fun. It's like,
see you next Christmas.
Yeah, so
you masturbate a lot.
Yeah, like, and you just yell horrible shit at a priest, which like I wish I could do in real life.
Yeah, I realized it was metal as hell.
Maybe
so
when
who would ever be opposed.
Maybe
to
historically,
it?
Some people just got really fucking drunk and people thought, oh, they're possessed by demons because they're puking, masturbating, yelling, swearing a lot. I mean, that applies to both.
I was always more afraid of like the prehistoric like remaining creature, like a huge like fucking
Lake Placid,
like yeah, like that yeah. kind of thing. Well, no, that movie I saw that like a little later, but once I like learned as a kid, they're like, all these fucking dinosaurs were like huge. It's like bears used to be like even bigger than they are now.
So you're
like,
imagining
every animal a couple thousand years, like thousands of years ago, was like fucking
way bigger.
Like that shit scared the hell out of me. Like there could just be like a rogue like bear out there that was like fucking 30 feet tall, and like there's nothing I could do. It's like by the time I would be like, oh man, that 30 foot tall bear, and I would turn to run away, it would already like be, I'd be in range of like a big paw swipe. You know?
Crush you, yeah.
I was just always afraid of like in water, like huge prehistoric fish, or like alligators, or something that like that
river
that,
monsters.
Yeah, just anything like
great
really
show.
Old that's left over from like, you know. I was
did
always
you like
afraid
Lake
of that.
Placid?
I love that movie,
it's
but
a
that
great
was after
movie.
That actually.
Oliver Platt.
That's actually what
out.
Ended. That's what like discontinued the fear of like, oh shit, there's gonna be like a huge alligator.
You know what's funny about Lake Placid and
it's a great
actually,
movie.
Next time you watch this, think of this. Okay. Oliver Platt takes the brunt of a lot of fat jokes.
Yeah.
Or makes a lot of fat jokes. But he's so fat.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in my life that I have been aware that a script existed before the actor, because it was like, there's so many fat jokes, and I'm like, there's a fat guy making all these fat jokes, and I'm like, you're so fat.
Yeah.
Are you calling the sheriff?
He's calling the guy from In Bruges.
Brendan Gleeson. Yeah, he's calling him fat all the time. Like, Oliver Platt, you are fat, dude.
Well, dude, it just works.
The thing is, but he was supposed to be like the ladies' man professor of paleontology.
No, it's cool. It's cool. He can say it. He's fat. It's cool. Black comedians do that all the time. They're the only ones that can make fun of black people.
That's our word,
all
right?
But it looked like he was saying jokes meant for a strapping fucking person. It just seemed that way.
But then they could get a name in the movie, but they couldn't. To find replace from fat to gay, or
like we meant to cast
other weird 90s horror replace with gay, replace all, go like
other 90s like horror type movie like casting realization I made this week was I watched The Lost World Jurassic Park again.
Vince Vaughn's in that.
Yeah, yes, I had totally forgotten. I remember Julianne Moore. I remember Jeff Goldblum. Obviously, I remember like everyone from that movie. But then I was like, Vince Vaughn was like the snarky dude.
He was. He was Nick Van Owen.
Oh, man.
Did anyone come back from like, who was that like team that they hired? Like, but all those like henchmen who show up.
Oh, yeah. InGen.
There's
got to
be a bunch of
people.
There has to be.
You don't want to talk about The Lost
World. No, I know. I'm saying there has to be like a farm league for actors. How many other people came out of InGen?
Not that many.
Not many. Oh, I was hoping there were a lot more than usual.
Really, I mean, everybody talks about
Spielberg's farm leagues.
What's interesting about the Jurassic Park movies to me, and maybe I need to see The Lost World again.
Oh, you're talking to the right person right
but
now.
But I was going to say is after the first, we're always talking to the right person as far as this is
Jurassic Park 3, or are we going
to? I was going to say, when Jurassic
Park. Let's talk about The Lost World first.
I was going to say, this is my perception of the series as a whole, and I haven't seen The Lost World since, I saw it once and I was like 14. This is a long time ago, but people say, oh yeah, the first two movies rocked, and then the third one sucked. But I like I think back on the second one, and I was like, didn't that kind of fucking suck too?
You know what?
Why does it get a pass just because it didn't suck as much as
totally didn't fucking suck?
I mean, it doesn't.
Nobody gets this. The Lost World did not fucking suck.
I liked it sincerely. I was young enough to like it sincerely. I think I need to watch it again to like it ironically.
Well, I got it. Let's go.
At that age, I had it on VHS.
Have you ever podcasted a live reaction to a movie like The Lost World?
We did videotape ourselves reacting to One Nun, One Priest, One Nun, which is a scat film. So it's kind of, which is probably better.
We never posted it.
Jeff Goldblum's, I just remembered, it's like, wait a minute, Jeff Goldblum's inexplicably black daughter kills raptors with gymnastics.
With gymnastics, she does. Now, that's not the point. The point is, and even Jeff Goldblum, like,
is
Ian
that
Malcolm,
compies,
Ian
obviously
Malcolm,
the point.
No, Ian Malcolm was one of the best, like, characters ever. Like, in Jurassic Park, Ian Malcolm was the fucking shit.
Agree.
He was loose and he was casual
and he died in the book.
So it was he did die in the book. But he was
How was there a lost world?
He was the acme of Jeff Goldblum's coolness. Jeff Goldblum could never get cooler than fucking Ian Malcolm in the first movie. And then he comes back in Lost World and he's like a bug-eyed, terrifying, like one-liner dropping creep ball, and I'm like, this is not the same character. And the only way you can explain this is ultimate traumatic stress from having the first encounter with dinosaurs. It's the only way that Jeff Goldblum could ever be like, well, you know, I was playing it as this guy who goes fucked up after having dinosaur attacks.
Yeah. Although
because
the thing
he was so different.
But the thing is, I think here's another take on it.
I try to shy away from analyzing Jeff Goldblum's acting.
My favorite part of the movie is where he hugged the grandchildren. They walked out of their roles forever.
Kids,
I was like, never see
kids.
Them again.
you
got the short end.
I'm going to put a Glenn's on this. This is the Glenn lens. All right. He was so sardonic and cool about even when they're being chased by the T-Rex, he's trying to make it funny, like the Musco Faster. Since that movie, since he was hitting on the doctor chick in the first one, since then, apparently it's been like 30 years because he got married and like had a kid who's now aged 17.
He didn't have the kid.
Remember?
So,
he was always looking for
divorce,
the next ex-Mrs. Marvel.
Right, okay, but this divorce...
He
had another divorce in between.
Did you black out during the whole helicopter scene, Nick?
I was masturbating.
Jeremy,
really
a question
hard.
I must but ask you. Did you ever read the Lost World novel?
I read it.
By Michael
Crichton. When the T-Rex sperms all over the windshield?
No, I didn't. I didn't read it. How did they... Was Malcolm the main character still? Was it loosely based
dead.
On the movie?
Malcolm wasn't. No, Grant was a big character too, if I recall. Interesting. All I remember was the Lost World novel was actually really exciting totally different, and a T-Rex sits on the windshield of a car and just jisms all over it.
Awesome.
He just sperms all over the windshield. They're trapped in there.
What were you saying?
Like,
please
tell me it was same as the scene with the chick in the tree in the first one when the thing, the Bronchosaurus sneezes on her. It's like that.
Yeah. The exact.
That's how I would film it. Yeah.
My
and
point
the kid
was
still saying
was basically
you.
That Malcolm had one of these divorces that really raising a kid. Because in The Lost World, all he gives a shit about is like. You're like, oh, well, this is all well and good, but I want to make sure my daughter is, like, safe in the truck is how I remember it. Is all he cares about his daughter.
Oh,
and
that's
about
it.
I think divorce ruined him harder than a dinosaur ever could.
Oh, it did. Clearly. It clearly did.
I mean, after, like, three divorces,
I mean,
is it just the straw that broke the camel's divorce back? Or like,
I had a quarantine section of my English teacher's chalkboard. Just for countdown to Lost World release.
Oh, man.
Probably 80, 90 days in advance.
How'd you
day by day, scrubbing it
off. How old are you? So this was in...
14, 15.
And how did you feel about the movie when you first saw it?
I was like, that was good. That was fun.
But not as good as Jurassic Park.
And then later I'm like, I don't want to admit it. But it's not fucking Jurassic Park. No. And it took me a long time to go back to it. It's fucking great. The Lost World is fucking great.
Dude, the scene with the raptors in the tall grass. And then when they're in
don't go into the long grass.
Oh, and when they're in the greenhouse, like they'll book into the greenhouse and you see dudes dropping. Awesome.
It's
and
great.
You see the grass bending around them.
And what did he say about John Williams? What's his fucking name?
John Hammond.
John Hammond told me this would happen when the engine people come in, they box up the Triceratops and put them on TV.
Oh, yeah.
He sent a backup plan. And they're like, what's the backup plan? Me. And he pulls out like a bolt cutter. So he's ready to fucking free those dinosaurs.
This billionaire's backup plan is a dude with bolt cutters.
I still feel like I used to put that movie in watching like on VHS. I would put it in and rewind it.
The only thing I can remember
about that movie now is just like, the boat scene where there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex like in like the cargo hold.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the part's great.
And there are these like big doors like that open up to the hold, and he somehow like it's like he hadn't thought of it before, but now like he's just gonna start like headbutting the doors, and then they open. What happened? Like there was some like problem with the tranquilizers, right? They like didn't give him enough, and he like woke up too soon.
Are you talking about the initial scene with the Velociraptor?
No, I'm talking about when the T-Rex is in the boat.
But watch that scene where the T-Rex is loose in California without watching the rest of the movie, and you'd be like, "That's fucking awesome."
That's the thing I was going to say about this movie.
That's fucking awesome.
I had never this movie more than any other movie.
So it's like We're Back only better.
I have the most sporadic memory. It's so. I remember specific scenes, and they're all so incredibly fucking disjointed. It's like Jeff Goldblum arguing with his black kid. Like, Compi is killing some dude.
Then
the raptors in the tall grass. Girl doing gymnastics to fight raptors. T-Rex eats a dog in San Diego. Like, it just doesn't... Like, these are really disjointed, weird... Oh, it doesn't... Don't trucks kind of fall off a cliff for 4 hours at one point?
Oh.
The Compies were nominated for Best Supporting.
See, now you're talking about one of the best... action sequences that's been put on film
ever.
You're just missing the trailer sequence, and it's one of the greatest things.
Oh, I remember
ever
that
done.
They're
it's
like hanging
great,
over the edge of the trailer.
It's incredibly suspenseful.
Oh, I remember
sequence.
That. That was
not
awesome.
Really well
not
shot.
When you don't care if the characters live or die.
but that seems like character driven. It's just supposed to show the massive engine scooping up dinosaurs.
Oh no! The with them
Spielberg
falling off the edge
clearly
of the
wanted to have a
rear
good
window.
Time with Lost World. No. That's why he did.
Oh, the trailer scene is awesome.
Yeah,
oh, I totally forgot. The trailer
actually
scene is awesome.
Fucking awesome.
The trailer scene's incredible.
That's what we were just yeah.
Because he made her stay in the trailer, and then like there you go.
I was thinking of a different scene, but yes.
And the glass. I remember the glass window.
He's in the car trying to pull him back up with his little. And it's like spinning in the mud. The whole car's like swipping and swapping around. It's fucking
awesome.
Great scene.
Oh, that was yeah.
Yeah, she falls on the back window of the. It's like an SUV, big back SUV rear window.
Yeah, and start the crack. Starts the spider web.
What was Spielberg's movie right before The Lost World? Because I know he went Schindler's List, Jurassic Park. So I'm wondering if that like pattern kind of followed.
The
like
Lost
Schindler's
World
List
was
did Jurassic Park
seven,
as Blank
did.
Twister.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do Twister.
Shut the beast!
The beast!
I think he did AI.
No, that was after that.
But you know, that's
Saving Private
Ryan.
That movie sucks
like
ass.
Lot more. No, I like
it
a lot more.
Why don't you go watch Bicentennial Man
it.
While you're at it?
Oh,
no, but
it was Kingdom. It was Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls.
AI is okay. Much better than Bicentennial Man. I'll give you that.
You know what? You know what's funny? It came on HBO the other day, and I watched Haley Joel Osment try not to blink while he screams at his mother not to leave him in the woods. And I'll be a good. I'll be a real boy. That's kind of fucked up. It was pretty freaky.
What happened to him?
Yeah, blinking.
He went through puberty. And he just
hey guys,
he's like really into Jesus, and he like dresses like a yuppie.
I dress like a yuppie.
So is Kurt Cameron?
What? Essentially,
it's Kurt Cameron.
Okay. Wow. He polymorphed into Kurt Cameron.
What do you think of M. Night Shyamalan's career? Jeremy is a film
buff.
I know nothing about film.
You're not an expert, but you're a connoisseur.
Jeremy is film
I know
ripped.
Film really well from 1997 on.
So that's film shredded.
Like
perfect.
Film.
Perfect. Modern.
Yeah, so Shyamalan, absolutely. So I'll tell you what I think about Shyamalan. There's never going to be a time, no matter how many bad movies he puts out in a row, that I will not go see an M. Night Shyamalan film based on the fact that it's an M. Night Shyamalan film. Like, The Village sucked. Lady in the Water, I mean, not, no, The Village I actually liked. The Happening sucked.
Mm. Oh, The Happening was
happening
like,
what about
The Happening
about
was
signs?
Embarrassing.
I love Signs.
Really?
Mark Wahlberg in
I love
in
Signs.
The Happening was
it, Signs is so simple and nail on the head. But it's
baseball
very,
to the alien head.
Exactly.
Why would they invade
hold on.
Planet?
What do you hate about Signs?
Oh. And this is all lifted.
They showed the aliens.
No, this is
what I hate about Signs.
This is all lifted from the best page in the universe review of it, and they raised some points which I can't really get past. Which is how did aliens, which have mastered interstellar travel, go to a planet where the atmosphere is 70% water and not put on a fucking poncho?
No. Like, not, don't care. Not even that. Aliens that are apparently melting in water, but they want to destroy humans, which are like 75% water.
Yeah, they can't figure out like a cupboard, like a pantry door.
Doesn't matter.
With like the little hook, and it's like,
okay,
fuck it.
I was
after like trying to rattle it for 2 seconds, I could just push through that, and I don't have superhuman alien strength.
I was a little bummed we saw the aliens, sure, but the main thing that peeves me about Signs is just this one fucking scene at the beginning with Joaquin Phoenix where they're like illustrating his bad character, and it's like, well, I remember you, like you were a great fucking home run hitter, like in the recruitment office. He's recruiting to go into the army or whatever.
Army.
And he's just like, why aren't you in the like the living the big life, having beautiful women suck your toes? And then some guy who looks just skeezy is just hanging out in the recruitment office. He's like, because he couldn't stop swinging. he swung it every like fucking
You're absolutely
kick.
Right. That's a great, no, it's perfect. That's a perfect example of why Signs sucks.
And then he put himself in that one, and he looks
he
so out of place.
Oh, he gave himself, so. Well, I mean, look. I love Signs. I really love Signs. And because all the
close.
Things you're saying are right. Like, it's a fucking cheese ball, ridiculous movie. But
if you think about
he
it for
also
a second,
took an
stupid.
Alien invasion and reduced it down to a very
intimate
storyline. And that's the kind of thing I like. That's the kind of thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but
and so even if he didn't quite succeed, I appreciate that one else
but
felt
you're not
like
have your zombie. You're not going to have your zombies like be killed by eating brains and have them do nothing but try to eat brains. Like, you're not going to do that because that's fucking stupid. And it's a really easy thing to fucking fix, and he just didn't bother. This is just a colossal plot hole that would take like 30 minutes in a conference room to fucking hammer out in like a $100 million movie, and he just fucking didn't.
Yeah, but
didn't give a shit.
I don't think so. I think you're now presupposing a lot about the aliens.
No. Well, I think
they clearly are killed by water. Their planet is surface.
Clearly they are.
Dude, there's water.
They're
they
killed
can't
by
just,
water.
They can't just put on like a rubber suit.
But what if those aliens
put on a beekeeper outfit for fuck's sake?
Ultimate awesomeness from oak trees, but water was bad, so they're like, "We're gonna take a chance of going this planet."
How about they write it so I don't
really
have to? How about they write it so I don't have to like imagine that they get they're powered
but
by oak trees?
That's not the point. That's what I'm saying. It's not about that. Well, it's about a man finding his faith.
But
again.
At the same time,
that's what I actually like. About
I hate
the
it
movie.
When he rips off the Wizard of Oz. He does it in every movie very
you know
subtly.
No, that's the thing. This goes all the way back to Aristotle's Poetics. I can suspend disbelief. For pretty much anything, like as long as it's consistent within your own story. If you want to set up the rules where these aliens, like, you know, maybe they all are really fucking forgetful and they forgot that they're allergic to water, like whatever it is, that's fine. If you tell me that, or if there's some sort of thing, but you can't just like change everything at the last second to make everything convenient to make your ending work. You know, it's contrived.
Almost like
it makes
we find weapons of mass destruction.
No, I think you're missing. I think you're missing. I really think you're missing it.
No,
the idea
I get that they
is to have a guy who loses his faith regain his faith by having a miracle happen.
And you could have
the aliens. All that other bullshit doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You could have it. It does matter because you could have all that happen and not have the stupid shit. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the story arc, don't get me wrong, the story arc is great. The writing on the small details,
is horrible.
Right,
but
it's literally like no one read this.
It would have been
or they're just right like, off of the Sixth Sense, though, right?
Do this.
I'm saying.
And I liked Avatar, so maybe I'm an idiot.
He
but,
came right off the Sixth Sense and then did Signs.
No, he did The Village.
No, he did Unbreakable.
No,
he did
Unbreakable. Was after.
I liked Unbreakable.
What did you think of The Village?
I did not like The Village.
I haven't seen a whole lot.
Did you any of you guys like Unbreakable?
I liked Unbreakable, and I actually watched it again this year.
I dug that movie.
But you know, it's funny. It was my least favorite, and it was the one movie that he was the most upset was the least favorite. Because Shyamalan loves Unbreakable, so I was like, I'll watch it again. I was like,
that's the only one I really like.
Still not my favorite.
What disappointed me about The Village the most was that the trailers made it look so fucking cool.
Yeah. The trailers totally betrayed that movie.
Yeah.
But I had always thought, you know, Sixth Sense came out when we were in like fifth grade.
Oh, I'm gonna puke on my face.
So I thought that
I was
movie
driving when that movie came out.
I thought that movie was fucking phenomenal. I love that fucking movie. And then it seemed my perception was that he was making worse and worse, and progressively slightly worse movies as he kept going. And I wasn't sure if that was just as I aged, I got more skeptical and just was more critical. I don't know. So that's why I was asking you if you have a perspective on an arc to his career.
No, like, absolutely, I absolutely do. That's a very valid point. That's what I mean is that. I love The Sixth Sense. I thought Unbreakable was really cool. I actually quite enjoyed The Village, and for some reason I bought into Signs. But Lady in the Water, but I knew that other people didn't like those last couple movies. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. I mean, I dug it, but I see what he's trying to do. But those last two movies were lambasted, and rightly so. They were miserable. Lady in the Water and
The Happening.
And The Happening were miserable movies.
The Happening was embarrassing. I didn't even see
The
it.
Happening
and I'm a
is
big
so
fan.
Not as embarrassing as Lady in the Water in my mind.
Really? Because just Mark Wahlberg in The Happening.
The trailer.
To cast yourself as the writer of a work that saves mankind in the future.
It's the most narcissistic
and play that role
bullshit.
Is and while and then have a critic who lives in the building get eaten by a fucking mythical wolf.
That was what Lady in the Water
that's
was.
Lady in the Water.
And it's unbelievable.
Well, that was what was so
self-indulgent.
Funny to me too is because speaking of trailers, those trailers made that movie look completely unappealing. It was like, hey, the guy from Sideways kind of like runs around his swimming pool a lot, and his daughter's scared of wolves. And I was like, okay. Not interested. Like, The Village, it was like, this colonial place is terrorized by pagan ritual. It was like Beowulf in North America.
Apart from the resolution of Signs, were you not entertained?
Don't get me wrong. I truly love Signs. I growing up in the farmland of Texas, Signs like hit totally home with me.
I guess for me, maybe it's I just get too hung up on that small point. It's just because it would be so easy to fix, and they just didn't.
See, my only problem with that is that they even discussed it. The aliens, what the fuck are they doing on that cornfield? There's no reason if there was a goddamn alien invasion going on that they'd just be puttering around some jack-off's fucking farm.
You're getting so much.
No, I'm just saying. So don't show it at all, or show one.
No, but like, why don't you know that
the story isn't
affected? Figured out a strategic we attack the agricultural areas and we set up bases there, and then we move into the.
It opens these cans of worms and then doesn't close them.
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, you can't start down these roads. I mean, you say there's this massive.
They're either trying to destroy humankind or they aren't. Do they just need food? Because I'm pretty sure we would give it to them.
So let's all get on the same page here.
Science
we
is
love
awesome.
The basis of science.
Yeah.
But we wish.
Have you guys
it was
heard about his next
like,
movie though?
No, we wish it was more like yeah. Independence Day.
yeah,
I guess I'm just. Upset.
I wish it had about like.
But you know what?
It's no. almost more. Of movie. It's almost more upsetting to me that it could have been an awesome movie and with like a little bit more effort, and they just
it fell short of the goal. Like
but
Stone
that's,
Fox.
No, yeah. but that's what
he
oh,
Stone Fox that
it.
Shit.
What?
That's what intrigues me about Shyamalan is that I actually quite enjoy Independence Day. But I like
rules.
Signs more because I see an artist at work. Whether he's fucking it up or not, I see a specific vision at work. And it's more interesting to me than a kind of Roland Emmerich, mass appeal, you know, exact same shots every movie kind of thing. I would rather see M. Night Shyamalan be like, no, this is the way it is to be.
you know? But I understand that, but the thing is if they're both on television at the same time, I will watch Independence Day.
There's
10
definitely,
out of 10.
Yeah. There's definitely,
10 out of 10.
There's definitely something to be said for innovation and art and all that stuff. But if you're getting the weird, complicated, hard shit right, like just do your due diligence and make sure have someone read the fucking script
well, come
and
on.
Say, wait a minute, isn't this
come
fucking
on.
Dumb?
You know sometimes it's hard to do that. I hate
oh,
Star
I'm sure
Wars.
It's fucking impossible. If
Wars,
I could do it, I would do it all the time.
I was not raised on Star Wars. And you're talking about George Lucas, who is clearly a guy who can get certain things right, but story is, I mean, his most of his shit is miserable. He's an iconic filmmaker who will be remembered forever, but
yeah, oh, sure, yeah. sure.
When George Lucas is involved, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. now? It's like, well, he's ruined Indiana Jones and he's ruined Star Wars, so...
He raped Indiana Jones.
Yeah, no, but I think he... The real
Frank
raping
Parker
went down... The real raping went down on Star Trek, or Star Wars, I mean, Star Trek.
yeah.
He fucked Spock. Forcibly.
Star Trek just
right.
Star Trek was the last
Star Trek
Star
was awesome.
The last Star Trek was was a rape victim finally starting to date a nice guy, and then he finally gets her to feel comfortable within a relationship
again. Wait, are we seriously talking about Star Trek 2009 as a decent
movie? That movie was fucking good.
How the
You're the
fuck,
first person I met who didn't like it.
How the fuck was that a decent movie?
Wow. Wait,
was
the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie?
Yes!
Oh, I fucking
no way that was a decent movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Oh, hey, lens flare. Let's just throw more lens flare in there. That'll cover up all of our problems.
Stop doing the lens flare.
Hold on. Why was 2009 Star Trek, and I know I'm getting into some shit here. Why was Star Trek 2009
you had to ask.
Better than any of the other Star Trek movies?
No. I'm saying it's,
saying
the
it's much
worst.
Worse.
He hates it.
I know. What I'm saying
hold on.
Okay, so
how many times have you seen The Wrath of Khan?
How are they all better?
How are they all better? Okay.
If you say lens flares, I'm going to lens kick
I can
off
count on my hands. Well, actually, I've seen Wrath of Khan like six times. I've seen all of them.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. This movie is like well written. The story is like sort of compelling. There's cool shit in it. There's action. It's fun. There's a bunch of characters.
Right.
It's fun.
But at the same time, the 2009 just felt like all the characters just sold out.
Sold out.
In every sense.
It's a major motion picture. Before that, they were like shooting that in some guy's garage. You know what I mean?
No. I'm saying the 2009 sold out. The rest of them feel legitimate. Even in their quirky ways, they feel legitimate.
I would like
to
see
the story.
More.
Why did
of
it
those...
feel sold out? Because it was...
Because
of
it's 2009,
it was,
man. Did Batman sell out?
No.
Yeah, he sold out multiple times, and we still love fucking
Batman. No. Here's the difference, though. The fact that they took the Star Trek plot now went back
and rewrote it from
and
the
now
beginning.
It's a reimagining. It doesn't even stick to the basic plot that it
there
was written
no
about.
There is no basic plot. That
are you
Star
a Trekkie now?
You know,
no, but I hate when people do reimagining.
There's no basic plot in Star Trek.
I love reimagining.
Yeah, there isn't really.
They've never done that before. They've never done that period
of
time
before.
Am
I the only person in the world who could give a shit about reimaginings? Jaws is my favorite movie in the history of the world. I don't care what you say.
Best movie ever?
I could argue Jaws is the greatest movie of all time. And
you
I
know,
could
a
argue
lot of people would put it up there.
Got dehydrated.
A lot of people put it up there.
But if someone told me tomorrow that they were doing a reimagining of Jaws, I would not give a flying shit. I would not give a flying shit. I would not. I don't, like, if I saw the new Jaws and I was like, if it entertained me or it moved me in some way, I'd be like, great. But I don't care how bad, if it's the worst
thing
ever.
Even if it went
ever.
Back and had Robert Shaw was actually like a failed ballet instructor and like, you would, that doesn't affect the first.
It doesn't at all to
and,
me.
And Richard Dreyfuss was actually behind all the shark attacks. Like he was like encouraging
he was in
the
suit
shark.
And he's like, you damn kids. And he pulls off the
He was
the
encouraging
face.
The shark. He was antagonizing it in the water.
He trained the shark. It was his son. But yeah, I think there are so many. I mean, Casino Royale and wasn't a classic Bond movie. It was Bond. They reimagined. They brought it back to the beginning. Sure, it doesn't fit with the arc of the other ones, but if the previous arc was starting to get crappy, that's
but
good.
But at least Casino Royale was based on the book.
But to whom are we? Do we owe this loyalty? Like, at what point are we trying to be, you know...
Are you going to try to sell a Star Trek movie to the mainstream? But it's like, no, but also this is super... This is just going to play to the nerds camp. But seriously, mainstream, go see it. It's true to the original.
I thought Lord of the Rings walked that line probably better than...
Yeah, that was...
Exactly.
Well, that's
but they did
Lord
a bunch of research.
So
there's no fucking novels to go back through for Star Trek because it's like, well, you have your William Shatner. It's just supposed to be different eras of fucking Star Trek.
I thought they fucking killed
and
the
thing
Star
with
Trek.
The thing with Star Trek, too, is, and especially with the sci-fi genre, as long as you kind of pay lip service to the reasoning behind it, there's so much... You can do fucking anything. I mean, like, in fantasy, you can just magic shit away, and then you can technology shit. Oh, it's a wormhole. Whatever. Like, somebody fell through a wormhole. Like, okay, cool. Then, like, make it work, and that's fine.
And there's always a simple solution with, like, a bunch of crystals.
That's what I'm saying. Science, they didn't even bother to put in the fucking wormhole. Why didn't they do that?
No crystals, either.
But overall, my problem with the reimaginings is the
no
fact
faith
that
healers.
They just don't pay, definitely with the J.J. Abrams 2009 Star Trek, they didn't pay any respect to any of the other movies,
like those
or
things are
out of respect.
I've seen one episode of old Star Trek once in my entire life, and they fight a pizza monster the entire time, and he kind of crawls around, and it looks like a dude from a '70s like children's show. Why do I need to owe respect to that shit?
You want to know a movie where they did try to do that and pay a lot of respect? Clash of the Titans. Look how that turned out.
Hey, did you guys see that?
No.
I really want to.
Oh, man, I really want to see it.
Ryan's putting his
thumbs down. That's why I want to see it. It's like, holy shit, dude. My whole outlook on life. Oh,
see
man.
It in 3D. It'll be great.
He released the Kraken. I feel like I've released my inner
I'm so happy that movie was made with that tagline because I've made so many release the Kraken jokes in conversation. Even to girls who probably have like no interest in a nerdy like monster movie, they fucking crack up because they saw these released the Kraken up.
We're in such a different generation, but I want to ask is do you feel like the bad action movies of today, which you wouldn't even like, you don't want to see Clash of the Titans?
No, I do.
I love it, but I'm saying if you were, all things considered, if you were going to see an action movie today because you wanted to see an action movie versus the action movies of the mid-90s, which are still now a joke, the Con Airs, the Rocks, the Water World,
hold on, he hasn't finished his fucking question.
I'm saying, is it wrong to say that even those bad action movies, which I love them too, but those bad action movies in the 90s were better than the bad action movies of the aughts, of nowadays?
No. Plain and simple, the answer to that question is Black Dynamite.
What? That's the best
movie. That's the new movie.
Bad 90s movie. And the way that they did it topped every single bad 90s action movie, even 80s action movie, to a T. They studied all that shit. Not only studied it, turned around, exploited it, made it funnier
Black
than ever.
Exploited it.
And I literally... I can't think of another comedy that came out of 2009 that was funnier, true, and respectful to all the historical generations, and managed to do it in a way that literally should have gotten more attention.
Yeah, that movie was really
good.
Neil,
feeling the pain and homage to the original.
Neil has a lot of ancestors.
I don't know.
He's of Chinese descent.
A lot of this, respect.
He did sound Chinese.
Owing, you know, respecting the genre, a lot of that smacks of...
Talk about the
of like of like fat old Yankee fans talking about how, you know, A-Rod doesn't respect the jersey or something. Doesn't respect the game. Like, doesn't respect the game where, like, we're, you know, this illustrious game which represents the country. Black people didn't used to be allowed to play. But, like, this game used to be pure and fantastic. Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame. His famous pitch was a spitball. It's cheating. And so, you know... That shit, you know, all these modern people...
And his name is for fags. Yeah.
You know, let's kill all the steroid users, but let's give Lord a pass to everyone in the 70s who used amphetamines fucking constantly. It smacks of kind of bullshit to me. I just don't buy it. It sounds good.
Have you seen Black Dynamite?
No. Oh, look.
There
saying,
you go.
It can be good,
there you go.
It can be good regardless, and I think reference to things in the past, but I don't think you need to have this sort of reverence with Star Trek like this is Canterbury Tales or something.
I literally don't think you can even make a comment until you see Black Dynamite, because you plain and simple no, don't.
I feel like this.
Totally
no, I feel like we're addressing different points. I want to see it. It sounds cool. I don't.
It's on the server.
Everybody wants to see it, but you can't say. Oh, come on. No comments. Oh, no comments until Black Dynamite.
No, you can't, because literally these are two guys from South LA that have spent their entire lives watching blaxploitation films.
That's
and
fine.
Blaxploitation
That's fine. You
television.
Can make reference and use the past, but I'm saying acting like it's this glorious
You're
institution.
Like
yeah.
Star
the
Trek,
idea
yeah.
might be just like, do I give a shit about blaxploitation, whether or not it's the best or not? Like, I'm saying if a movie is... like, what do you look for in a movie? What is
how,
the first
how entertaining
thing
it is?
Do you
want
to be entertained? Like, I love the artistry and the fucking and the direction and the auteurism behind movies. I
it's
mean,
like,
it's one of the first things I look for. But am I entertained? Do I
it's
give
like
a
any
shit
other medium. It's like
minutes.
Any other artistic medium. Music. You say, well, what do you like about music? Sometimes I want it to be loud as shit and rock like crazy. Sometimes I want it to put me to sleep. Sometimes I want it to be, you know, it's they all serve different functions. So,
right, but at the same time, it's different with movies. Because the number one thing I look for is plain and simple direction. How well
songwriting.
Was it directed?
It's the same thing, producing. I mean, you can do it with any medium.
Can I say something real quick?
So you didn't think Star Trek 09 was well directed?
No, I thought it was terribly directed.
What? Hopefully this will shed like a bit of light onto this. I have been meaning to see The Hurt Locker. I look at the server every day, and I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I really need to see The Hurt Locker.
It's the worst fucking
movie.
But
in the process
ever.
Of that, I have seen G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen Body of Lies like 3 times. I have been getting on Ryan's ass to get the Book of Eli up there. What else do I have? I watched Crank 2 High Voltage. I watched Death Race 3 times in 1 week. I watched it at my cousin's house. I watched it by myself.
And every
and then,
time, presumably.
And then I forced Ryan to get high with me and watch Death Race. Like,
so you're
I love entertaining movies.
So you're
and
just
like,
passing. You're, and implicit in that comment is you every time you passed up watching The Hurt Locker instead to watch
basically,
one of these other movies.
Yeah.
You could have spent that time watching The Hurt Locker, but
because
you chose not to.
I would see The Hurt Locker once. And it would be great, but it wouldn't be a movie that it's like, oh man, The Hurt Locker's on. It's like fucking awesome. Let me like get into this. Is great.
See, this is the
if the Lost World was on, I'd be like, shit, yeah. Let's
I don't
watch Lost
talk
World.
About this in all the last 2 years. Right. I saw. I mean, I watch anything, but to put Blade Runner in for the first time.
Oh,
why
really?
Is it?
See, Blade Runner for me is one of those movies that transcends and becomes a crazy Venn diagram.
Everybody tells me it's good.
Venn diagram
I never
of
sit
like,
down and do it.
It's really entertaining and it's really like well done and artistic and like just like a crazy concept. That's cool.
I saw Old Boy and Hotel Rwanda, but thought both were fucking awesome. Never, ever, ever, ever want to see either of them again.
Oh yeah,
thought they were great. Never want to see them again. Ever.
Can I just end this conversation on a light note? Primer. That just want to say.
Oh God,
Primer!
I had to watch that movie literally
right
4 times
I've never
in a row just to understand the plot.
What is it?
Here's what's great about Primer: who gives a shit if you understand the plot about Primer? Primer,
right. Exactly.
It's just like you just what are those guys saying? I don't fucking know, but they certainly believe it, so I'm just gonna roll with it, and it's amazing.
Wait,
Primer
is
one
Primer?
Of the reasons I'm making my movie.
Is that up on the server?
No, it was literally a crazy movie made for under $5,000 by two guys in Plano, Texas, that it's about basically capturing time travel and the problems that they face from that. And then it gets really fucking weird.
It's two white-collar boys who find out a way to create time travel in a garage, but it barely ever leaves that garage. And it's
that sounds awesome.
Incredibly dense and very low budget and beautifully shot. And it's great.
Yeah. No, it was shot all on 8mm, wasn't it?
16, but close.
16.
Oh, shit, Neil.
No,
out 16, I'm not interested.
Oh, I know. I blew that
oh,
one.
Oh, shit. Oh, out shit.
Question. Who
oh,
in this
shit.
Table has seen Schenectady, New York?
I have not.
It. I've seen it.
In person or the film?
Is Nicolas Cage in it?
I went to
the answer
no.
both.
To see
was Val Kilmer in it?
No.
Was Bruce Willis in it?
No.
Was Russell Crowe? Oh, Russell Crowe.
No.
What do you guys think about the upcoming Russell Crowe Robin Hood?
I hope it's
great. Oh, I saw that. I cannot fucking. Oh, I love that.
You saw it?
Oh, I haven't seen it. I saw the trailer.
Okay, so entertaining and ridiculous. While it looks interesting, I still want to see the MacGruber movie.
Why would you open up a Robin Hood conversation?
I know.
Oh. Now, all right.
I didn't realize Star Trek was going to be so controversial. Meanwhile, it killed Neil's dad or something.
I can argue Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves being my top five movies of all time.
That's up there. Do you guys want to talk about...
Speaking of time travel, I want to go back in time and like
you guys,
slit Kevin Costner's throat.
I'm for polio vaccine, but I don't know about you guys.
Really?
You want to throw the polio vaccine argument for or against?
Question. Nick? Why does everyone have such a beef with Kevin Costner? Like, really? I get he's so hokey.
I like Dances with Wolves. I'm going to come out
Kindred
and say
Souls.
It. That was a good movie.
Because you can tell.
I liked him in 3,000 Miles to Graceland, and I liked him in Angels in the Outfield.
No. Wow. He wasn't in Angels in the Outfield.
I mean, Field of Dreams. That's
there were angels. There you go.
Those were my two favorite movies when I was
You can tell he thinks he rules and he fucking sucks.
Not true.
And two, Bull Durham, he has all these fucking awesome lines and he's just butchering them horribly.
He doesn't butcher them.
His passionate speech, which has all of the passion of a guy reading like the ingredients on the back of a sugar packet.
It doesn't matter.
Wait, name
it. I mean, as long as it doesn't matter, then I guess. Then.
It doesn't matter. No, he's such an everyman. That's what made Kevin Costner great in the early and late.
No, he's an everyman with like fucking $800 million.
I'm sorry. Tin Cup is one of the greatest.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, the best part of that movie is when he gets in the driving contest.
Fucking time.
I haven't seen
and the guy is just like, yeah, I'll get a fucking driving
contest. He hits it down the fucking road.
He hits it down the road. Yeah, that's so fucking awesome.
The only golf movie I've ever seen is Happy Gilmore. That's how I haven't seen it.
When in Tin Cup, when he reveals that he's in love with his therapist, it's fucking great. And he keeps using golf euphemisms.
I like it.
I don't know what to do with
it. It's also great because we get to see Costner playing like a total like fat ass douche. Yeah, it's awesome. But he's with the heart of gold.
So do you like Waterworld? You like Waterworld?
I saw Waterworld 5 times in the theater.
But that doesn't mean anything to me.
I love it.
I mean,
ironically or sincerely?
Completely sincerely. But I was fucking 11.
No, I'm talking about now.
No,
now, 13, like, 14. If Waterworld came on, would you be like, would you sit down,
well,
watch it with
us? That's
what I mean.
And then
defend how good it was.
What is the difference between what I enjoyed in the mid-90s and what I enjoy now? Is it quality or is it just...
Entertainment?
No, I don't think
you
can ever compare.
When I ask you, is that movie good? Like, I'm
is
asking
Waterworld
you, like,
good when I watch it now?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
But
for different reasons.
If you could sit down, though, and you can listen to like, a Mahler symphony and recognize that it's... I can recognize that it's... fantastic and is probably way better than Bop by Hanson, but I know which I'd rather listen to in the car.
You said Mahler.
I did. Mm. I did. It's not just a gun in Halo. It's a...
Oh, man. I'm a big Needler fan
classic
myself.
Music and a video game reference that I am neither
that, that was a video
with.
Game
Needler.
Reference.
Mahler was a German... I think he was German. He made some composed, very complicated, hard-to-digest shit. I didn't want to say Philip Glass because that shit's just...
Yeah, that sheet music did not sit well in my stomach, to be honest with you, Nick.
But, I didn't want to say Beethoven because that's sort of... That's vaguely accessible. You know, I wanted to... Mahler, I'm happy with it. Schoenberg, for example. That changed music.
Heil,
changed 20th century music. It changed classical music for pretty much all music forever. Like, serialism and all that shit. But I don't ever want to listen to that shit. So I can
Everybody has their one-time movies. What's your best one-time movie right now? Go.
Ooh,
like, what are you like? That was great. I'm not watching it again.
Ugh,
Avatar.
Avatar might be the
really
new
liked
one.
It.
I mean, agreeing that it's good.
I like Avatar.
It was really good, but the thing is, that's another movie I keep seeing on the server, and I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
I think the problem with Avatar is
I think
70% of people, like at least in my circle, like went into it negatively, like expecting like, oh, it's gonna be like so overblown and James Cameron
absolutely.
And blah blah blah.
But it didn't disappoint us. It was exceeded our expectation. I just, if Avatar was on TV, I could see that as something that would be superior to other options on TV. Hotel Rwanda, I would be like in pain watching that again.
But that's what I mean. You're saying like
I thought that
I might not be able to watch Avatar.
You know what
it's
movie?
Really
you know what movie I can never watch?
Or
I
cannot
never
watch Hotel Rwanda because it really is. Hard to
and
watch.
It's really long too, or at least it felt like a
fucking.
Hotel
Rwanda's like 2 hours.
Did you ever see Four Feathers with a fucking
Heath Ledger,
Wes
Bentley?
I would never watch that movie again.
Actor had most.
I thought
promise
that movie. I thought the movie was awesome.
Seconds.
That was a great movie. It was really like fucking
Poor
horrible.
Feathers? I don't remember.
He had to like go fight in like Algeria or wherever, or like the Sudan. But I thought it was good, but I will never watch it again.
I'd rather watch Bloodsport than
I would rather watch
Quest. I'll never watch 21 Grams
I would rather watch
again.
Kickboxer and see fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme dislocate his own arm.
No, it's when he kicks the palm tree and he's like this. You're like it like this.
With the shins.
Like this.
Oh
and
my God.
Just like
was 21 Grams
explodes.
Good? Was 21 Grams good?
21 Grams was good, but it was fucking horribly depressing.
Minority Report is something I don't think I'd ever want to watch again.
Oh God. Minority Report.
I liked it. I can
really.
I like
really?
That movie.
I liked it. I just don't want to see it again.
Yeah.
I can watch that movie.
I love Minority Report. But see, that's what I mean. So it comes takes us all the way back to M. Night Shyamalan. Any of you agree?
You're all welcome for me mentioning him, by the way.
I appreciate it. Do any of you agree that M. Night Shyamalan has legitimate and interesting suspenseful chops in any way?
Yes.
I feel like he's up in his own head now,
and
he's starting to burn his own talent.
And I think
fine.
It's George Lucas
but
was
definitely.
An interesting analogy because I think in The Sixth Sense, because he was just starting out and he didn't have any sort of cachet or clout just as himself. He had no, you know, it was like, show us what you got. So there were people who could point out his mistakes. And he could work with people. Now it's kind of like,
does he produce his own movies nowadays?
I just feel like it'd be hard to call him out. It'd be harder now to call him out
than
it would have
been. He's definitely a prima donna.
I think that The Sixth Sense, and I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but I really think that's legitimately a classic great movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a historically great movie.
I agree with you. I think the turning point for M. Night Shyamalan is when he started putting himself in his own movies.
Yes. No, he did that in Sixth Sense.
He did it. He's been doing
he's done it from the beginning. He does not every movie. He does
every
movie.
He's like Spike Lee.
He fancies himself.
He's actually like Spike Lee.
You mean in a significant way.
Right.
He's got the chops.
Right. Yeah. In a significant way.
He's just a little.
He's got to get out of his own head.
I mean,
if you're battling with your self-centeredness over Hitchcock, who was pretty fucking.
You can't compete with the birds.
But Hitchcock himself was pretty fucking self-centered.
Oh. Right, but still, there's no way M. Night Shyamalan should start a movie thinking that he's going to top the birds.
Do you guys hear
about
the spiritual successor
of Hitchcock films?
Birdemic?
No, I'm just using that as a reference.
You guys hear about Birdemic?
No.
Spiritual successor to Birds?
What?
To the Birds? It's about, it's like fucking this Vietnamese guy's making it, and apparently it's like vultures and like eagles and shit, like attacking
the
people.
The dark
and
crystal.
He made it for like I think for under $10,000.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about a guy.
No,
with
Birdemic.
And eagles.
It's a new movie, Birdemic.
Maybe he'd be one of those guys.
I don't know.
Used to study.
On the one hand, I think it's always good to set your sights high. You know, you go into a thing. It's like, I want to make a better movie than Hitchcock. But at the same time, when it's a sport, I feel like that's a really positive way to go into it. I think when it's something creative, it's a way to fuck yourself over.
That's absolutely.
It's like, I'm
going to
make
a
better music
but
than
I'm
the
not
Beatles.
Saying
like,
that Shyamalan's
just
going in saying,
Brian
I'm
going
to make a better
movie. But he's
movie.
Going in
but
saying now, like, I'm the fucking
going
man.
Going,
like, I can do it.
I think this, and this is how I see it.
And
I don't
profound,
go in.
And goddamn it.
So if you told me tomorrow that, like, M. Night Shyamalan was doing, like, a Nicholas Sparks book, and it was coming out tomorrow, or some other person was doing... I don't know. Something not that fucking cheese ball. I would still really want to see the M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, especially
like,
that.
How
such
is
a
Shyamalan handling
but
a Sparks?
But at the same time, Americans love watching train wrecks. No matter how bad it is, if it's a good name and it's going to be a train wreck, we're all going
to
go see
Sometimes we try to cause it. We try to bring it
exactly.
About. Yeah. All right, but Jeremy, this is a sort of a separate... I mean. Being a director's corpus, if you were on a desert island with a home theater and you could only watch one director's works for the rest of your life, you couldn't watch any other thing, but you could take their whole library with you. So I'm sure the director's library. Yeah.
Okay.
Who are you taking with you?
Well, I mean that's not fair. I feel like
why not?
I feel like you've hit me with that question at the infancy of my film understanding.
So in this point in time, you know, subject to revision in the future, I'm not saying your plane tomorrow is going to crash on an island with the entire corpus.
I'm taking a plane.
Who directed Starship Troopers? And did he direct the other two?
No.
So then, damn it.
But
he's out.
He also did the most famous crotch shot in cinema history.
Chloe Sevigny, Brown Bunny, Darien Native.
Was that the movie?
What?
Hold I don't on. Know if
what
was
are you showing
director?
Me? That yeah, Ryan, M. Night Shyamalan Ryan, was co-written?
Ryan, he's trying to...
M. Night Shyamalan co-wrote Stuart Little? That's what I'm getting here.
Well, wow. Really?
What?
Wow. Holy shit, that movie sucked ass.
However,
but the Lou Bega outro wow. was, I guess, a twist.
However, I said director, so you can't... If you pick M. Night Shyamalan, Stuart Little is not coming to your island.
It says written by E.B. White, book... M. Night Shyamalan, screenplay.
Poor M. Night wow. Poor E.B. White getting the shaft of that one. So, I don't know. I mean, if anybody has an answer to that question, I mean, shout it out, I guess. But
you're talking about Desert Island directors?
Yeah, Desert Island directors.
I know who I would go with.
I mean, I bet you at least the five
Weird
of you
Al.
Could pick it in less than that. What do you think?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I feel like he would take Wes Anderson.
No, just a very good guess.
We're trying to guess?
Yeah, what Jeremy why don't you would guess? Take.
Oh, wow.
I already took the most.
Please tell me you take Spielberg, please.
I would take Spielberg. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
take
Spielberg.
I was gonna say,
I take him. I take him. At this point, I would take him. I mean, there's a lot of movies I love more than a lot of his movies.
Yeah, but you get a little bit of everything.
Who's the dude
it's all done
in
really well.
Happiness?
I would not be having this conversation with you right now if I was not 13 when Jurassic Park came out.
Yeah.
I was like, that's it. I want to figure out how they did that.
Now,
that
what on earth would make you take involved. Spielberg over Scorsese?
Because I came of age in the
Scorsese is more a little bit
he's
more
cerebral.
He's a little bit more one note though.
Taxi
in terms
Driver.
Of, in terms of
no nothing.
No. Hold on. Hear
no,
me
no,
out.
No, no, no.
Desert Island Man.
That's the thing. You're not I'm talking about. I hate. I mean, I fuck Taxi Driver's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. But
if I say Michael Jordan's my favorite player of all time, I did not say that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sucked balls. Like
yeah,
that was
exactly.
not part of my
statement. Right.
But like, and he may
have. Spielberg and Scorsese
Dr.
can go fuck himself in the face.
Right.
But I think part of the Spielberg appeal, and Pete was talking about this, is there's so much more variety. I mean, Scorsese. If all you give a shit about is like mob movies, then yeah obviously. But. I mean,
really?
Look, the guy clearly has a grasp on cinema.
If
and
I saw
exactly,
let me just speak for myself.
But you're right. Absolutely right. Spielberg is all over the place. You can watch a fucking alien movie.
And Scorsese is great
drama,
from a technical standpoint. He's like a real film school type of guy. But if I've seen The Departed 3 times, if I see that movie one more time, I'm just like gonna fucking throw up. Like that movie is not that
you should
great.
Probably not watch it then.
No, I know. But like on the desert island,
unless
I'm gonna
need
those
purge.
Fluids because I'm deserted.
Can't
so I can't
up.
Be puking. And eventually, I'm gonna come back to The Departed. And it's like I've already watched Taxi Driver, Goodfellas 4,000 times.
I can't afford to lose any more nutrients.
Yeah,
your precious bodily fluids. Uh-oh.
And if
going
there's like
with,
a fucking
Peter
wild
Sellers
pig
here.
Or something on the island you want to scare away, you could just like
yeah.
fucking turn
but if
to
I could
the
watch
T-Rex
all the
scene
Indiana
and scare
Jones
it away.
Movies, all the Jurassic Park movies, like
yeah.
Schindler's
I mean,
List and Saving Private Ryan, like and Minority Report. I'm a happy guy.
And
yeah.
Spielberg,
yeah.
like well, that's all I got. I'm like, let's watch Minority Report
what?
Again. I ain't seen that in like 3 days.
What does Scorsese? I'm trying to think because I'm really shitty on directors' bodies of work. And Scorsese, all I can think of is sort of cerebral mob movies. Does he do? Has he done anything?
Oh,
else?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What
am
completely missing out of? That's
Gangs
that's
of New York
is technically
fucking
still
that's
a mob
technically
movie.
A mob
no.
movie.
No.
Well,
have you seen okay. Cape Fear?
No, see,
I'm not sure what that technically means. There was an organization that like attacks someone, so it's a mob movie.
No, I'm just being a dick, but I'm very ignorant of Scorsese.
There, I mean, he actually did even more than I've seen, but he did the King of Comedy, which is about stand-up
yeah,
comedians.
Yeah, that's a good one. Robert De Niro.
He's done a lot of. He did a lot of the big concert documentaries. No Direction
well,
Home, the Bob Dylan movie.
Yeah, that's a great doc. That's a really good.
I mean,
doc.
Scorsese has done a lot.
He's
done I don't think he's gotten
done.
Enough
he
credit
for it.
He did
Kundun and the Age of Innocence, and
he did Age of Innocence with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Anyone
see Shutter Island?
Fuck Edith Wharton in the fucking
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, I didn't
no, one
see
of
Shutter
his
first
movies
did you see
Shutter
Island?
Like,
did anyone
one
see
of his
Shutter
first
Island?
Movies was
no.
like a director for hire for the studio, and he did Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore with Ellen Burstyn, and she got her first Oscar for that. Yeah. He was just like, I'll take this script, whatever.
Did you see Shutter Island, though? No,
Scorsese not getting enough credit is kind of a classic idea. I mean... There was that moment when the 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar, and then Jon Stewart went up and said, "If you're all counting at home, that's Oscars. 3-6 Mafia won. Martin Scorsese 0." I mean,
it was hard out here for a pimp.
What did you think of? What did you think of Clash?
Another kind of like gas on his face.
I guess he loved it. I guess that's my answer.
A whole lot of bitches jumping ship.
You know I gotta keep my game tight like Kobe on game night.
I
by
love
the way,
that.
By
I
the way,
love
that,
that
scene when that first song first comes together is one of the fucking
oh,
best scenes.
Oh
in the
yeah,
last
it's
five
great. Anthony Anderson like nailing up like the fucking
in Clash.
No, take out drink containers
Hustle
to like the wall
in Hustle and Flow when that his first rap song comes together when they're. I mean, it seems organic. It really feels organic. Huh.
You know what? I've never seen Hustle and Flow.
Really?
And I really want to see Hustle and Flow.
That movie's awesome.
You should.
I love that movie. DJ Qualls is really in it.
Yeah, he's
great.
Killer in that, right?
And then who's that fucking blonde chick? She is so hot. That like really skinny chick. He's like, you know what, baby, you need to dress yourself up as like a high.
I know you don't want to be a hoe, but you got to be a hoe tonight.
Yeah. Guy? Yeah.
I think
the blonde chick.
No, I know.
A historic dream for me, historic in my lifetime anyway. I've always said this, and Pete's heard me say this a bunch, is I've always wanted to put You Got Served and Drumline on two TVs next to each other and watch it at the same time and see if there was anything meaningful. Thinking of there. Stomp the Yard could probably go in there on a third TV.
Stomp the Yard.
No, that's Stomp the Yard with Stick It.
Stick It.
Stick It. Ooh.
Great movie.
And Bring It On for.
Yeah, now we're getting
Bring It On again and again and again.
Keep bringing it because we still need it.
Those are all bastard stepchildren on Bring It On.
I'm just going to go urinate right now and just memory of those movies.
Yeah, they're great.
That's an interesting reaction.
Yeah,
to that.
It's hard.
What did you think of Clash? Crash, sorry. Not the Crash?
Crash of the
One
Titans.
Best Picture.
Are you a Don Cheadle fan?
Crash. I just enjoyed. I just enjoyed it. I got it. It was very like.
What movie do you hate?
Hammering Me in the Head. But what, I
did you like
it.
Brendan?
What's
Fraser?
That's the thing. That's the problem. It's hard for me to. I can find the good in so many movies.
All right. Can you do that with actors?
Only
like
find
you,
the hate.
You
true.
You said
like,
that Kevin
like
Costner
about Crash?
Gets dogged a lot. What about Brendan Fraser
was,
speaking of Crash?
It moved Crash.
You're a Brendan Fraser fan?
Crash moved really well.
Brendan Fraser's awesome.
Oh, Brendan Fraser's amazing.
I love Brendan Fraser too.
Journey to the Center of the Earth was compelling because Brendan Fraser is amusing.
No, hold on. What was
Inkheart
that movie? Blast
is pretty good when I've been
Blaster in the Past
Encino
was fucking
Man?
Awesome. Yeah. Encino Man was awesome.
Airheads
was great. We're gonna forget that Monkey Bone was ever made.
The Mummy was actually a really
The Mummy one is a fucking awesome. Awesome movie. That movie's
really
fucking
full
awesome.
Circle.
Rachel Weisz's first movie.
Was it really? That was her first movie?
That was her first movie.
She is so
She's
fucking
great.
Hot. Oh,
But I thought Crash, the pacing was good. You know, I thought it was. It seemed technically sound. I don't really know much about.
Get back to Imhotep.
Well,
I just thought that it was really. I thought it was really manipulative, and it was kind of a cop out.
Of course it was, but
so
again,
I didn't like it. I didn't
well,
like
that's
it.
Fine. That's
so
fine.
I didn't
but
like
I'm
it.
No,
like
I didn't like. I thought the whole core of what it
super
was manipulative and shitty. That's what it
I
was
don't
a well
need for things to hit what I feel like they should have aimed for me to like them.
Oh no, I hate it when critics come into, especially if this, you see this on a food show all the time. It's like, well, I came into this dish expecting it to be this, and it was still great, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. So it sucked. I don't do that. I'm saying.
No,
when
I don't.
I just come in and watch, and then if it's.
But I'm saying you're.
That's how
I mean,
it functions.
It's clear that my expectations are a lot lower. Mm. Like when I love a movie, I absolutely love it, and I understand why other people love it. But when I also like a movie that other people don't, I'm like, well, I don't care. Like I just.
I'm not
like,
saying you should hate it because I hate it. I'm interested.
No, I know,
to
but I've never. I don't know. My take on movies has always been like I can't vehemently hate any movie because it's just.
What's your least favorite?
When
movie?
You're at the gas station and there's that rack of movies,
right?
That are all like $4.99. Are you just like Jim? Loved it. Gotta have it.
Saw what he was doing.
Doing. You know what I've always done has been like, God. You know what? I'm in a gas station. This is my choice right now. But if this was my only choice in the whole world, I'd be so pleased to have The Devil's Advocate and, like, I don't know, Bring It On. I mean, I don't care. Like, I just love them. I just
I
love
think
them.
Kirsten Dunst's hot, so I can
if they stop directors that I really appreciate their artistic bent on from making movies, then I start to hate them.
What's your least favorite movie? Or what's a movie you
Does
remember?
Does anyone have a
really
least favorite movie? Really, though?
No, because like if it's really bad, then I think it's good.
Speaking of which, I have two movies for you.
Yeah, this
it would
be
have to be
so
middle,
mediocre. So middle.
It would have to be so mediocre
City.
That like I just
the
didn't
Cincinnati
care.
Reds of movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, tell me some of yours. I'll tell you if I hated them or not. I mean,
and
clearly
and part
you
of it
have,
now I've got
but.
A different perspective because I could probably go back and watch them and fight and laugh at them instead.
Well,
I remember,
know. But
like,
what I'm saying,
Swim fan.
Movies.
Well,
like,
see,
now I could go back and laugh at it. But
you know,
I fucking hated every inch of
that
movie.
We know Jesse Bradford. In
true.
This
the
But yeah, that's a movie I just won't even watch because even I, who
I
watch
every
garbage, just won't.
And
I can.
I hated Lost in Translation. Maybe I need to go back and see it again. I know. We've had this argument before. God. We had this argument before, so I'm not going to do it. That's
I'm
why I was.
Vomit.
I know we had this argument before, but I really didn't like
You're
it.
You're aware of Jeremy's Bill Murray makes equals good movie.
I'm going to puke in all the tiny holes of this microphone.
We had. I don't know why this is hitting you harder now that I've told you this like 2 months
because
ago.
Because I was probably drunk when you told me the first time, and now I'm more mad.
Well, you know what? We don't need to get into it. But
we won't.
So, and I could probably see it again, and I could probably have a different take on it. But, and that's kind of the beauty of
you probably
being
should
my early 20s
if you like your knees. You're never gonna.
That's
you're
a
never
threat.
Gonna skate.
That's a threat. I mean, we have criticize on movies again, Nancy. I mean, Nick.
Well, I don't know what's.
it's a punk. Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Worst movie. Worst movie.
Worst movie that I've ever like sat all the way through. Is Godzilla 2000.
Oh yeah,
love that fucking movie.
Because I've seen the old Godzilla movies, and they were much better. like, especially like, in perspective, it's like, wow, they've had to fucking put up, like, all these, like, shitty, like, cardboard walls. And, like, you know, like, that was, like, breakthrough at the time. Like, just scaling, like, a dude in a suit.
See, but then this
now
goes
it's
back
like,
to the conversation
let's take
earlier.
That same fucking idea that was our only
option. It's reimagining. We already covered this.
This is our only option in the 60s, so, you know, is to have a dude in a suit running around, like... Like fucking Power Rangers style, like with sparks coming out of every fucking.
I get
building.
It. This just
then they do that again
point.
In 2000, and like not only did they not change anything, they like did a worse job.
Wait, are you talking about the one with John Reno and Matthew Broderick?
No, that was Godzilla.
No, that's the Roland Emmerich.
Oh,
Godzilla.
My bad.
Not Godzilla 2000.
Godzilla 2000 was like still guy in a suit. Like, they just took, like, the same technology and, like, decided to just do it again, but, like, it wasn't
good.
Oh,
like,
better
lenses. Covering a song and just doing nothing with
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But covering a song, like, with
that's
all the instruments
choice.
Played on, like, a Casio keyboard, so it's, like, trumpet.
I mean,
like,
I guess if I had to pick, like, a movie that I just didn't like or just didn't get at the time... I mean, I remember like watching Drowning Mona and being like, "What am I doing with my
life?" Me too. I had a
but
black
I was in a
box
theater,
so
I'm
I could
like,
watch.
Did
oh, you saw that?
Did
oh,
we, like drive here.
Oh, you
and, like,
you watched Drowning Mona in
but
the
I was,
theater?
Like,
you watched Bette Midler. You paid money for Bette Midler.
It's got a pedigree a little
you
bit.
You gave Bette Midler
well,
money.
That was at the time when I would see everything that came out.
I understand, but I had the black box. So I watched on pay per view.
You know what's amusing is I think Glitter, and a lot of people laugh, and I'm sure this if I watched it with you guys and just kind of yelled at it. It'd be really hysterical. But I watched that movie from beginning to end and focused on it. And it wasn't even bad enough to be funny. The entire movie was just...
This is incredibly unmemorable.
Dull. It was just... No, I remember all of it because it was... It's like...
That's weird.
When I was in seventh grade and took the SATs, I remember every moment of how fucking boring it was. Because for like 4 hours, I was the most bored I'd been in my life up until then. And Glitter...
I remember when I did that, it took all of my passion, just like all of my self-control to just be like, just fill in C a lot and get the fuck out of here because the SATs
suck. You know what
I
mean? A staggeringly boring experience when you're really young is almost traumatic. And for me with this movie, which I saw 2 years ago, that movie was so boring. It was, and I watched it because I wanted to see what was, because Glitter was sort of like a joke option in terms of movies. But really... It wasn't even interestingly bad.
It's
it was just
a bad movie.
Yeah.
It needs to swing that's into like bad enough to laugh
I mean,
at.
Geely is probably hysterical.
No, I mean, it probably isn't. It's
no,
probably the
I mean,
same thing.
I would vote, and I heard you mention this movie earlier.
What?
3,000 Miles to Graceland. It's got to be one of the best bad movies of all time.
It's fucking great. You know what else? You know another movie I like is that that one with Bruce Willis and Billy Bob Thornton?
Oh, Bandits.
Oh, Bandits.
And Cate Blanchett.
That movie is awesome.
I
like that movie.
You know what I remember from that movie? The only one thing. Billy Bob Thornton sits up from a dead sleep and goes, "Beavers and ducks." That's all he says. "Beavers and ducks." And I was like, "That's brilliant. I don't know what that means."
Oh, Pete, do you have a least favorite?
Do I have not really?
Niels is the new Star Trek.
Yeah,
you know
obviously. I was trying to think of like a nice boring one, kind of comparable to your Glitter experience, but I think I just tune out those movies completely. Like, I think I watched this
movie. Did you ever
see
Crossroads?
I think I watched
Britney
a movie
Spears?
Like on a plane once when I was really young, and it like really sucked. And that was probably it, and I don't remember anything.
Cool
from
story,
it.
Bro.
That's it. I don't know. Like, what's like the worst movie? That's a
it's
very,
so
it's
hard
a, that's
for
a,
me.
In fact, I will deem it an unanswerable question.
Right, fine. What's a movie that you saw once, loved, but you now that you think about it, if you think back, it probably really blew.
I have a lot of those.
Like Dragonheart?
Yeah. I thought...
I saw that 20 times.
I watched that movie last week.
I love Dragonheart.
It was like 2 was in there. The morning.
He was almost done with it.
Yeah, exactly. It was like 2 in the morning, and I was like, I got to go to bed, but Dragonheart just finished downloading, and I watched like an hour and a half of it.
Yeah, well, this is more ridiculous. I read the novelization of Dragonheart.
Aragon was pretty much torture.
Aragon might be one of the worst movies. Was a great book for a 14-year-old. He wrote it when he was 14. It was a great book.
And then they turned it into a horrible movie. It's so bad that it's not even like...
Where the plot was like on fast forward. It was so bad.
Dude, the dragon gave half of his heart to a king.
The last of my kind.
I am the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean Connery.
I just love that scene where Dennis Quaid goes over the horizon, and then you're like, "Oh shit, that dragon totally fucked him up!" Wow, that like
silhouette.
Fucking yeah. And then he comes back and he's like, he's always like really pissed off, and he's like, "Ah, fuck!" Like that damn dragon. Like I kicked its ass. I am the man.
Best part about it, I saw Dragonheart, and then like 2 years later, I saw Bean, the like Rowan Atkinson, like Mr. Bean movie.
Man. The same music.
Same music.
I learned to play that on the piano. It's the only thing I ever learned to play on the piano.
The Dragonheart theme. That's such a cool skill. I can play the Dragonheart theme on the piano.
Okay. Flip side of the worst movie of all time. What is your favorite movie around the table of 2009? Favorite movie of 2009? Whoever wants to start, please just kick this off.
I think I know Pete's answer. It might be mine.
I don't know if I can pick a one.
Peter, would you say Inglourious Basterds?
You can say multiple.
I guess it would be a tie. I guess Inglourious Basterds would be the best movie. Yeah.
What was the other one you went?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Zombieland.
Yeah, me too.
I love Zombieland.
I was going to say Zombieland. It was between that or fuck.
You know, it's funny. It's not. That wasn't
the night we met.
Yeah, I know.
And Fantastic Mr. Fox is really good.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I dug that.
Yeah,
I dug the shit out of that movie.
I think
I loved it. I loved the book though.
I think I enjoyed Inglourious Basterds the most, and I'd have to see it again. District 9 may be the best.
That's where I was.
That movie
that's
was
one of the
great.
Ones I'm going.
Really?
I was going Inglourious Basterds, District 9, Hurt Locker. Those were my.
I didn't see Hurt Locker.
Really?
That's
interesting.
I think District 9 has
because
the
I
most...
just downloaded Basketball to watch for the 5,000th time.
Basketball.
That movie's fantastic.
I love the performances in Inglourious Basterds. I love everything about Inglourious Basterds. But I think this District 9, when you're talking about...
We're going to get you, sir.
When we're talking about like best,
everything's wrong. Nothing feels right.
Now, see, for 2009,
look out up ahead. There's a truck changing lanes.
I thought District 9 changed the way I thought about things.
And those marks on your dick are gonna go away unless you start using topical cream every day.
I don't know.
What is this even from? Like,
it's from Basketball.
It's Basketball.
Oh, okay. Okay,
it's a fantastic scene.
I love Basketball too. I just don't. All right, I just thought District 9. What separates it from Inglourious Basterds in terms of that question is, District 9 changed the way I thought about things. It added to my understanding. Inglourious Basterds, I just thought was just brilliant.
Yeah,
but it didn't really have any new ideas to me per se.
Now, see, I understand what you're saying, but personally, for me, 2009, the best movies. The first one right off the bat, The Girlfriend Experience.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Because it's the most simple written plot ever, but the direction...
You asked that question just so you could tell us how great like The Girlfriend Experience was.
Yes, because obviously none of you fuckers have seen it.
It's been in my queue for months.
Yeah,
was it funny?
It's one of Steven Soderbergh's like off the cuff experimental films.
Yeah, I mean,
he took a porn star and made her. She plays.
Oh, it's with Sasha Grey.
Exactly.
I'm familiar with her anal work. I've seen her. I've seen people spit on her face. I've seen her yell, "I'm a dirty whore."
Have you seen her pretend to be a girlfriend?
Yeah,
art film.
I've seen her lick a toilet. I've seen.
And that's why this movie's amazing.
You've seen her
she doesn't do any of
but
it.
Yeah.
What
about,
else have you
like,
seen?
It's a thumbnail. It was like right on the homepage of a site that we all a porno of. It was a pretty fairly. It's
and
a,
she's licking a toilet.
It's like watch Sasha Grey get like fuck like a dog, and she's on a dog leash, and she's like licking a toilet.
And that doesn't mean
her
you
website,
can't take her acting career
and
seriously.
And her main her website is so fucked up. It's not even just porn. It's not even porn at all. Like, it's got, like, photos of her, but she's, like, it has this really weird, like, handwritten note on the front, which is about her philosophy on art and, like, getting fucked. And it's all just so... It looks like the DVD jacket of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
yeah.
But it's presumably a porn chick's website, and she's from Sacramento, and she's what? Oh my god, it's so fucking weird.
Wow. With that said, though, the movie itself was brilliantly directed, really well directed. They took the standard fucked up girlfriend boyfriend plot and third guy in the scene type thing.
I've seen the third guy in the scene with her, too. This is not edgy or experimental. She's done at least a dozen of those. This chick is fucked up, man. Like, for a porn star, she's fucked up.
I've been able to talk for, like, 2 minutes, and she told me she just saw a picture of her licking a toilet. What the fuck?
Yeah, I think she licked it while she got fucked.
That's good. I can get into that.
Yeah.
And that does it for me, Neil Smith here. I'm
glad you're
out of
well,
this
she's
podcast.
She's probably utterly fearless.
Moon had to be another one of the great movies.
Really?
No one?
Never heard of it.
I thought it was a great documentary, but I wouldn't put in my like rate of 2009.
Documentary? What are you talking about documentary?
What you talking
I thought
about?
It was very documentary.
What is Moon?
Yeah,
what is Moon? I've never
Moon
heard of it.
Moon is an incredible little psychological thriller.
Edge
Sam Rockwell is the only fucking person
oh,
in
really?
It. When if you have Sam Rockwell is the only person in your movie, I'll see it.
He was in. Did you see
it.
The Chuck Palahniuk awesome. Of Choke with Sam Rockwell?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I knew that he faked having fake choking for money and for whatever. I didn't know that the character was also supposed to be a sex addict. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
like a severe.
Oh yeah,
clearly.
That shit. It ended with a Radiohead song, I think, or a. Something like that. It ended with a hilarious song that was inappropriate for the credits as he's fucking someone in like an airplane bathroom for the whole credits.
No, but, that was the original woman that he fucked in an airplane bathroom.
I just got back to that same scene.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's still him fucking a chick. I mean, that just doesn't refute the point at all. But I don't know. Are you you're a big Sam Rockwell guy?
I think Sam Rockwell's.
Because I was gonna say, Matchstick Men was the movie that I thought was incredible when I saw it, and now that I think back,
you know,
maybe it
funny,
wasn't as good as I remember.
You have to see Moon. Moon is incredible. It's one guy at a moon base who's 3 years into a contract, and he's like, "I'm getting ready to go home," and then something happens, and I'm not gonna tell you what it is.
Oh, I'm interested.
Smash
and
cut to the middle of Signs,
moon. And it was directed by Zoe Bowie.
What?
David's son.
Oh, wow.
Duncan Jones.
Zoe Bowie. Pretty good. Not as good as Moon Unit, Dweezil and Moon Unit, though.
Yeah, the Zappas.
Hey, are we all going drinking after this?
I don't think any bars
are
still
open. I think we were.
Oh, no. Bars are still open.
We should go to Tennessee.
But we'd have to go to New York.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
No. It's only 12:51 right now. So if we're going to go drinking.
No, it's done.
We started recording this episode at about 9:45.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. Which means.
All right, so
we're
wrapping this baby
on.
Up.
It might be about time.
I feel like we should.
I think we've discussed every movie ever, so.
Yeah, and all this has been a fully.
All 13 of them.
Pick your favorite.
There's steam coming out of Jeremy's ears, Pete. Stop.
No one has talked about the 1997 classic Breakdown.
Oh, Bronson. That was 2008, though.
Bronson was technically 08.
Bronson. Yeah. No.
Bronson
Arroyo?
Yes,
08. Australia 08.
Okay, yeah, but 2009, that might be up in there for me. That movie was awesome.
Bronson was good. Tom Hardy was fucking great.
Yeah. You guys seriously never watched any porn with Sasha Grey?
No.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
you probably
Sasha
have.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I know who she is.
Like, who are we kidding?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. Just wanted to do a little good
By
night.
Golly, they're magical.
each and every one.
They are.
Yeah, it's like Santa Claus.
So, last votes, M. Night Shyamalan, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going to give him a thumbs up.
At least he's doing in new stuff.
Right. He's trying.
That's three thumbs up.
Yeah. I'm like wiggling it from the sideways to the up position a lot.
But he wants to never be a Joaquin Phoenix from Ridley Scott movie. Joaquin Phoenix was in an M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village, so you're for him.
Yeah, it's true.
Clearly. Gladiator reference there.
Yeah.
What do you like better, Ray or Walk the Line?
Walk the Line.
Oh. Racist.
I don't like them at all.
Let's go in on that. That's great.
Go back to Europe.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
So long.